జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ శరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధానంద సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ్ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమాముష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణీ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధరామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణదటాచయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగదా సంబోధనాభోదిదం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేవీయమానం ముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యేస్తవైర్ వేదే సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదేర్ గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. కృష్ణ సేస్ టు అర్జున, హతో వా ప్రాప్స్యసి స్వర్గం జిత్వా వా భోక్ష్యసే మహిం తస్మాదుత్తిష్ట కౌండేయ యుద్ధాయ కృత నిశ్చయ. 37th వర్స్. సో కృష్ణస్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ వాస్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యు డై ఇన్ దిస్ బ్యాటిల్ యు విల్ గో టు హెవెన్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ నాట్ ఇఫ్ యు విన్ ద వార్ యు క్యాన్ బి ద కింగ్ అండ్ యు క్యాన్ ఎంజాయ్ ద కింగ్డమ్, రైట్. So either way it is good, that is the principle behind it. Either way it is okay, it's not going to be a failure. So principle is this, that the work, whatever has come to us due to prarabdham in life, whatever it may be, it is better to do it than giving it up. Whether it is a success or failure, either way, it is a blessing, because rather than giving it up and withdrawing from the field of karma, Krishna's point is that either it is a success or failure, still it is better to do it. And so this verse, as I said yesterday, is an important verse to teach us about the way Bhagavad Gita is telling us how to deal with karma. Yeah. When one is in the field of karma, that means you have karma vasana inside and prarabdham also is there. Its best thing to do is not to give up karma and walk away from that. But on the other hand, you also have to know that the Bhagavad Gita Siddhantam is not to engage us in karma. It is not karma Siddhantam. It is Jnana Siddhantam. Knowledge is given higher weight than karma. Karma Siddhantam is not normally spoken by anyone. But at the same time, Bhagavad Gita says, you should not give up karma, right? Not that karma is very good, but if you give up karma, there will be trouble. That's why. This is how we are connected with karma. It's a very interesting thing to understand how the rishis have identified this relationship with karma and our life in this world, the way they have linked it together. What they are saying is that karma, if you give it up, it is more dangerous. Therefore, not that karma is the best thing to do, but if you give up karma, you are going to end up in problems, right? No one is entitled to give up karma, because if you rush or if you deliberately give up karma, vasanas won't go, what is already inside. And whatever that has to be completed in this life, through this body, all those things will remain inside us in a very subtle level, and it will give a lot of distress to the jiva, which is full of vasanas. So if we keep the vasanas inside and then continue living like that without getting them destroyed in a normal way, it will create problems for us. Therefore, Krishna is saying that not that karma is the best thing, but because the vasanas are there inside, it has to be destroyed. Therefore, it is better to do the karma. Krishna's position is that on this, right? So suppose by we doing some karma in this world, not that it is going to impact on the world very much. World will go on its own way. The world, you can't change anything. That is Prakriti's control. She will do what she has to do. But this principle that the purpose of doing karma is that we have desires inside. When we come from the previous life, we have brought with us, and the karma vasana, we have brought them all together, and that is how we have entered into this world, with the vasanas and the desires, right? So if you do not do karma and get rid of those vasanas from inside, it will be very difficult to make progress in spiritual life. This is the reason behind that. Yeah. Therefore, under any circumstances, giving up karma is not advisable. Is not advisable, right? So whatever karma has come to us due to prarabdham in our as occupational duties, right? And but at the same time, you shouldn't go and look for karma elsewhere and get all karma in the world on your shoulders and start thinking I have to do all this karma. Not that way. What that karma has given to us by our prarabdham, what has come in life, and getting rid of in that way, through that karma, the vasanas will go. The vasanas will disappear through that, by doing that karma. New karma, if you create, it is dangerous. Additional karma, if you create, it is dangerous, right? But karma that has been given to you by prarabdham, and whatever that has come as your occupation, that is your prarabdham, it is basically. Everything is prarabdham. You may not understand this fully, because Krishna is going to say a lot of things now after these words, explaining this, how karmam, prarabdham and our life is all connected to each other. He'll be saying that in the next few verses. So sometimes we think that Mahalpas also come to this world. When they come here, they are also doing karmam. Lot of it is their prarabdham also. We don't have to think that we make it a big thing out of it, saying that, oh, they have come to this world to save this world. That's from our point, we look at it like that and think like, but it's also their prarabdham to come and do whatever they have done in this world. Yeah. So the thing is that this karmam that has come through prarabdham, in that karmam, what we have to do through prarabdham, if without kartrutva bhoktrutva, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and accepting that it is the Krishna has brought this karmam in front of me, so Krishna is doing that through this body and the mind, arpana buddhi, if that is executed, then whether the result is success or failure, it doesn't matter, because both are okay with that, right? That is the crunch of this verse. This hatova prapsasi surgam jitvava mokshase mahim. The Krishna is trying to get that idea across to us. That karmam as such is not very good thing. It only binds you in a normal way. But if you are able to do the karmam, what has come to you through prarabdham, the benefit is that the desires and vasanas inside will get destroyed in due course, right? So Krishna is pointing out here that if you do the sadharmam, then even if death comes, it is okay, because he is going to say that in the later. So sadharmam, that sadharmam means the one karmam that has come to you in prarabdham, through prarabdham in life. Everybody has some occupation in this world to live here, to maintain the body and to survive. So if you do that, but it has to be done with this mind. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, and also the karmam is, Krishna is doing the karmam through me, and all the, it should please Krishna that way. So, if you give up that swadharmam, what has come like that, then if you don't do it, what will happen is, Krishna says, you will never have shanti inside, or satisfaction inside, right? And the vasanas will keep building up inside. The vasanas inside will get thickened further and further. So, therefore, nobody should give up karmam in a hurry. Nobody should give it up in a hurry, right? On the other hand, one should practice this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken before, ragadvesham kartrutva bhoktrutvam, as much as possible, without ragadvesham, without kartrutva bhoktrutvam. If one executes that, what will happen is, he says, all the vasanas inside will leave you in due course of time. That is the benefit. So in field of karmam, karma mandalam, if you do the vyavaharam, as soon as you keep on doing karmam, you will notice that vasanas are also leaving you. You will notice it yourself. Different vasanas will leave one after the other, right? And no new vasanas will come up either. And we talked about the example of the clouds in the sky. Clouds, either it has to rain and clear the sky, or the wind should come and blow the clouds away. So that's the only way it can, the sky will become clearer, right? So in the same way, with neither of these, if vasanas get stuck inside, then no shanti will be there inside, right? So therefore, what is required has to be done, karmam, and it should be done in that particular way, and at the same time, in order no new vasanas to develop inside, the knowledge should be there. This knowledge what Krishna has spoken. So that with that knowledge, one should continue doing the karma. So that's where we stopped yesterday. After that, so this was the topic which we discussed, important topic yesterday. And then we said after that, and earlier we said about Asharyam, isn't it? Asharyaval Pashadi Kashirenam. Asharyaval Vadadi Asharyaval Vadadi Tadheiva Chanyam. Asharyaval Chainam Anyashranodi Shrutya Pyanam Vedanas Chaiva Kashil. That verse, 29th verse. So, suppose why this is a very important verse in the sense that Krishna is saying some object which is far away from us, if I don't see it from here, it's not a surprise because it's too far. I can't see it from here, right? And you know, science has found out that so many, they say billions of light years away, there are planets. And they have found those planets far, far away, right? And we get to know them, and we realize we found out that we didn't know them about their existence. But with powerful telescopes and research and all that, scientists have identified certain planets who are so far away from us, right? And when we find them, we are in a shock that such planets exist so far, right? And we see these planets so far away, and after seeing that, the scientists are shocked to say that in this universe, there are so many things which we still don't know. It's so huge that so many things in this universe itself we are not conscious of that what exists here, right? And gradually they try to research and they are looking for it and they find out new things all the time and they are coming up with that, right? New things in the universe, what they invented, found it, right? Similarly, they also realize that in this planet itself, in the planet itself, underneath the water, deep down, there are many things which we don't know. It existed there, right? So, deep sea research, they do that. And we get to realize that there are living entities there, deep down there, few kilometers down, right? So, this human brain, which is doing all this research in the world outside world, in the planet, as well as in the universe, right, has forgotten something that is very close to him, Antaryami. This is the important thing. Such a brain we have that it's going all over the world outside in the creation, universe and all the universes we are saying. Everybody is shocked with the revelations when they come from the universe, right? But it has forgotten something that is inside him, so close to us, and we have completely ignored that. And that's what that verse is saying. Ascharyaval Pashari Kashchidenam. It is Ascharyam, is it not? Is that not Ascharyam? Something that is inside us, we never did any exploration on that, nor we took any notice of it. Instead, went all the way out looking for the truth, saying where it came from and how it happened and all that. But this one, Antaryami inside, they didn't do any research on that. Ascharyaval Pashari Kashchidenam. It is like this, he said, a man, he had got his glasses on his nose, and then he's looking for the glass, where did I leave my glass, similar to that. And he's asking his wife, where is my glass? She's saying, it's on your nose, you're wearing that. So, so you are inquiring the glasses through your glass. You put the glasses on and through that you're looking for your glass. In a similar way, it is through us only we are inquiring. For Vivekananda asked this to Paramahamsa, have you seen God? So, similarly, Vivekananda asked this question. Similarly, another person asked to Vivekananda the same question, right? Have you seen God? But Vivekananda's reply was more interesting. He said that, I have seen nothing but God, he said. Vivekananda. In other words, if I have to see you, I have to see you through God. That's how he answered that. Which is a fact, isn't it? Because Antaryami is there, therefore I am seeing. That is, we are in this argument based on the Upanishads. He said that if I have to see you, I have to see through God. So, whether that person understood or not, I don't know. But, in other words, what he is saying is that the rishis had higher intelligence to think in that way. That this Antaryami inside is the way to relate with anything in this world, creation also. So, Ishvara, what Krishna is saying there, is that bodham, consciousness, prajna, inside, as which is our actual experience all the time. We are existing because of its presence. That's what makes us feel that we exist, because of that, right? So, when Krishna appeared in this world, Vasudeva, if you read Vasudeva's prayers in the Bhagavatam, what you will find there is the prayers itself, vididosi oval sakshal. The first verse itself, when he said that, is about Vasudeva Vacha, Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Purusha Prakrite Para Kevalani Bhavanandam Sarupam Sarvabuddhi Drikka. If you read that verse, you can understand where Vasudeva is coming from. Vasudeva had the knowledge. Vasudeva straight away recognized Krishna like that. Vididosi, I understand who you are. What did he say? Sanshal Purusha Prakriti Param. Who is beyond this Prakriti? Yeah? And who? How is he understood? Kevala Anu Bhava Ananda Surupam. Kevala Anubhava Ananda Surupam. That's what you are. This is how Vasudeva addressed Krishna. Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Surupam. Sarva Buddhi Drukha. And the one who is seeing everything as the Drukha inside. So you see Vasudeva's way of seeing things. And you see the scientist way of things. How subtle Vasudeva's vision is compared to scientist's vision. Scientist's vision is very gross, completely gross. Whereas Vasudeva has understood this. After all, previous lives he was Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi, Vasudeva and Devaki. And then prior to that there were Sutapas and Prishnigarbha and Sutapas. So, in previous lives, there were rishis. So that rishi's culture, vasana inside, is so strong that they have gone beyond all these scientists' way of doing things. Scientists are telling us and bringing us a big issue, making a big issue out of this. Saying to us, we have found this planet so many millions of miles away. Rishis are saying, you have not done any experiment or tried to find out who is giving you this experience. By whose presence you are experiencing all these things. Rather than going after the experience, going to the experiencer who is experiencing all these things. This is the Rishi's position. And because Vasudeva is a Rishi in previous lives, in this life he has come as Vasudeva, is it not? Vasudeva and Devaki, both of them are Rishi's previous life, Aditi and Kashyapa Prajapati. So that is why this first verse itself, Vasudeva's realization, yeah? It comes out automatically like that. Vididosi Bhavan Sakshal Purusha Prakrite Para Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Surupam Sarva Buddhi Drukha. You cannot explain it better than this. Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Surupam Sarva Buddhi Drukha. In a few words, Vasudeva defined Krishna who you are. Krishna, that's how he addressed Krishna. Same thing, when Devaki Devi started her prayers, glorification, same way she did the same thing. Ruvam yattat prahuravyaktamadhyam, brahmam jyotir nirgunam nirvigaram, sattamatram nirvishesham nariham, sattvam sakshal vishnu adhyatmadeepam. Similar to Vasudeva, Devaki spoke in her own way. Said, Ruvam yattat prahuravyaktamadhyam, this avyaktam it is, this rupam. Because Brahmam Jyotir Nirgunam Nirvigaram, its real form is Brahmam, it is Jyoti, It is Nirgunam, it is Nirvikaram. So all these things, and Bhagavatam is just trying to tell us the same thing what Krishna has spoken here, right? So what is Krishna's Swarupam? Swarupam is this Anubhuti, what we are experiencing inside. And He is the closest to us than anybody else. He is more closer to me than you are so closer to me then. He is more closer than that, right? And instead of seeing this Antaryami inside, who is so close to us, instead of seeing Him, several lifetimes, we have been going through different bodies, not recognizing the presence of Antaryami. And finally, when you get to see Him, ultimately when you realize it, one day, that's what Krishna is saying there, Ascharya Valpa Shari Kaschidenam. What happens? You start saying that the one who has realized it, he himself is in a shock. In a shock, right? So to realize who was so close to me, I had to work so hard for so many lifetimes to come to understand this presence of Antaryami inside. Just like you touch, holding the nose like this, you're holding like this. In the same way. Right? So, He is so close to us, but in order to realize that He is there and so close to us, it took so many lifetimes to come to that, right? So that is what is called the samsara, samsara bondage, right? It is easier, but it is not so easy either. Realizing the self is easy, but on the other hand, it is not easy. Why? Because we have all the impurities inside. Lust, anger, greed, and pride, and lust, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all those things. And we got to break through all these things. These things have to go from inside in order to become free. In order to become free. People may argue like this, isn't it? Otherwise, how can we recognize Krishna inside, right? So, one spiritual master told his disciple that liberation is our swarupam. Our identity is liberation, right? And which means mukti. Mukti means liberation, is our swarupam, right? And liberation means freedom. You have become free from the body. So, Atma, we have studied before, has no bondage. Actually, Atma has no bondage, right? Bondage is just a Brahman, what Maya has created inside us. So, when a guru said this to a disciple, the disciple said to him, it is very difficult for me to accept this, what you are saying, right? Because I am in bondage at the moment, and you are telling me that this is a Brahman. This is a Brahman. Brahman means, you know, you are completely affected by the illusion, energy of that. How will I believe this, he said. So, Guru said to him, okay, you find it difficult to believe it, what I have said. Just leave it, he said. Just leave it. It's a difficult job for to convince people that the existence of the soul, and when he said this, and this soul by nature is not in bondage, it is nitya shuddha buddha mukta subhavam, that is the nature of the soul. When you say that to people, people won't accept it. They'll find it very hard. So what did Guru do? He told the disciple, leave it now. It is not getting in, right? So what he did was that he told them, all these disciples who were in the Gurulam, he told them that we have been studying hard for many days now, Shastram, right? Today let's change the whole thing. We'll go in playing some game. He said, let's play some game. So what was the game? Game was like this, that among the children who were studying there, Guru selected this particular student who said that he can't believe it, accept it, what Guru was saying. He selected him as the main player in that game, what he has organized. The game was like this. There were two walls on either side. There were two walls. A distance of something like 20 meters, between 10 or 15 meters, something like that. some gap between the two walls. And then what he did was, he has put pillows everywhere, lot of pillows at different places. And then he said to them that, I'm going to tie your eyes, first player, who was this disciple who was asking this question. He tied his eye with a cloth and told, before that he said, you can have a look at it. You have to walk from this wall to the other wall. When your eyes will be completely shut with the cloth, it is covered with the cloth, without touching any pillow, you have to walk from this wall to the other wall. This was the test. Yeah, this was the test. So before I tie the cloth on your eyes and to cover it, you can have a good look at all the pillows and then keep it in your mind while you are walking from one end to the other, right? So he started this game, and this person had a good look, this disciple, everywhere. He kept it, everything in his head, the pillows are these places. And then he tied the cloth, and then he started his walk from this wall to the other wall. Meanwhile, after tying this cloth, the guru took away all the pillows from there. Took away all the pillows. But he is not aware of that. And he is walking. And while walking, he is so careful. He'll put one foot and then with the toe he will check if there is any pillow nearby. If he could. And then he will pull back, thinking that there is pillow there. And this way, he took more than... And there were audience there, many other children. They were laughing at it, what he was doing. Because he is thinking there are pillows. Others know the pillows have been taken out. So he is walking, and every time he put his feet on, he pulls it back, thinking that there could be a pillow. Because you have to walk to the other end, without touching any pillow, you have to get there. So this was the game, right? So after about an hour and a half, he got there, walking and got there. And then they removed his cloth. And when he looked, so everybody started laughing. When he looked, he saw there was no pillows. And it took an hour and a half for him to close, which normally would have done in 30-40 seconds, from one wall to the other wall. He would have got that right. So Guru says to the disciple after that, right, this kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, all these things, you are thinking that you have got all these things, and that is the Brahman. Atma doesn't have any of these problems. Atma is pure Sachidanandam. That is why Shastram is saying that repeatedly. Our spiritual identity, there is no kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam and all that. But this Brahman inside, which is Jiva, that Brahman Jiva has got. Jiva is thinking that I have got all these problems, I cannot. That is the reason why we are stuck like this, the way we are now at the moment. Because of this Brahman inside of the Jiva, that therefore we can't make any progress in spiritual path. Spiritually, as far as Andaryami or our real self is concerned, there is no kamam, there is no krodham, there is no lobham, none of those, right? And Andaryami, and Shastram is saying very clearly to us, it is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Svabhava. By nature, that is our identity, is that. But we don't have it now, that identity. We have got this false identity with all these impurities inside us, right? So, Guru says to the disciple, do you understand now what it is? He said, that if you have the strength of conviction that you are that Andaryami and you are that where you have no impurities inside, you will get through this very easily. But you don't have that faith, you don't have that strength inside. And you are still thinking like you thought that the pillows were there. In the same way you are thinking, all these problems are inside me, what do I do about it? And that is why Krishna is saying Ascharyam. It is Ascharyam, is it not, when you think about it? That Ascharyavel Pashyati Kashchidenam. That actually we have nothing to do with any of these things. But these things are controlling us now. that Brahman inside us, right? So therefore Krishna says, when they realize it, it is an ashiryam for them. When they realize it, that all these things I was thinking, that means when you leave that jiva bhavam, ahankaram goes away from inside, and when you realize the self, it is an ashiryam for the person who has realized the self. He himself feels that ashiryam. So that is what we discussed yesterday. And so similarly, those who have realized it, and those who wants to hear that, when you see people who wants to realize it, they are also thinking about it, ashiryam, right? So, Krishna didn't say any of these things till now to Arjuna, right? This is the first time Krishna is speaking all these things, right? Ashcharyavat vadati. That's what that next word there. Ashcharyavat paschidai kashyadenam. Then he said, Ashcharyavat vadati. First time he decided to speak all these things to Arjuna, right? So, why is that said like that? Because had Krishna talked about this before, Arjuna wouldn't have listened, right? Because the mental preparation was not there. The pakvada, the maturity wasn't there. So first Krishna created that maturity inside, and then Anyashranodhi, right? Anyashranodhi, then he heard. Arjuna heard it. Before that, had Krishna spoken about it, he wouldn't have heard that, right? So, even when we hear speak about these things, some people will understand, some people won't understand. Yeah? Won't understand. That is what he said there. Shrutva pyanam veda na cheva kashchil. The last line. Shrutva pyanam veda na cheva kashchil. Yeah? So, some people, they may not have heard it properly, and someone else who have been standing there may have heard it. You have to remember when Krishna is saying all these things to Arjuna, in that battlefield, he was not alone. There were other people as well, the army, and some of them may have heard it, what Krishna has spoken, right? And some people may have slept off, not understanding what he was saying. And some people may have thought, why in the battlefield all this philosophy is talking about? People may have accepted it in different ways, right? So, after that, Krishna is saying to them that this is the first thing. Then, from the sodharmam level, from the level of your own dharmam, you should not withdraw from the battle. You should fight this war, he said, right? And the way he put it was, this is a battle for dharmam. And this dharma yuddham is, for a kshatriya, it is a good opportunity for him to escape from this, right? Through dharmam, dharma yuddham, because it's based on principles, religious principles, therefore it is an opportunity to go to heaven. If you die, you go to heaven. And if you lose, if you die, you go to heaven. If you win, kshatriyas are like that. They don't fight and then go home halfway. No, either fight means fight till the end. So end means either you die or he dies. Your opponent dies. That is kshatra nature. So he said, if you die, you go to heaven. If you win the war, you have the kingdom, you rule the kingdom, he said. So the thing is, Krishna's point is, even if you have not understood this Brahma Vidya, what he is talking about, right? Just, he's saying to Arjuna, even if you have not understood what I am saying, if you fight this war, you still have a better life after death, right? And if you win the war, if you lost the war, if you die, you go to heaven. Or if you win the war, you got the kingdom either, right? Either way, it is good, he said. Either way, it is good. Therefore, Krishna says, in that verse, 37th verse, अतो वा प्राप्स्यसि स्वर्गम् जित्वा वा भोक्ष्यसि महीम् तस्माद् उत्तिष्ठ कौन्तेय युद्धाय कृतनिश्चय. Therefore Krishna said that, So he says to Arjuna, Kaundeya, Kundi's son, wake up, get up, right? And decide to fight. Decide to fight. Now, this verse is encouraging Arjuna to fight. That means encouraging Arjuna to do karma. Karma preragam, it is, right? Karma preragam. That means that he has the vasana for doing the karma. Who? Arjuna. Krishna knows that very well. Arjuna is not ready for sannyasam. Karma vasana is strong inside. If such a person, when who has karma vasana inside, if you give him sannyasam, what will happen is, he will make his spiritual life a field of karma. He won't have time for self-realization. He will be very busy in his field of karma. That's a problem with the karma vasana, right? So, when we do any karma in this world, every minute, right, in a normal level, it will keep creating impressions inside. That's called vasana. It will create vasanas inside. The mind is like a plate of a wax or something like that, right? Or something you can say like a cassette recorder, it's a recording machine like thing. In the mind, it will be recorded. Everything will be recorded. So every time when we do vyavaharam in this world, different emotions it is building up inside while we do vyavaharam. Is it not? It's normal. Any vyavaharam you do in this world, it creates a thoughts, it creates emotions inside us. That means it makes one line inside, right? For example, if you get angry, it will make one line inside. That angry feeling, right? That is called vritti. That is called vritti. And suppose you met someone whom you don't like, you got angry with him, and immediately a line is drawn inside, which is a vritti, anger vritti, right? And suppose you saw him later on something, again you got angry with him, then this vritti will become stronger. That vritti will become stronger. And this vritti, if it keeps building up, if it has become very thick inside, it will get life. It has got life then. That's how vrittis are. Vritti becomes it becomes life. It has got life then, right? And that is what is called a samskaram. Samskaram is vritti became very strong and it has become samskaram. So when vritti gets life, that initially if you say, for example, if you see watch television, right? Something you are seeing in the television, you are attracted to it. And say serial, somebody doing something, some character in the serial, you liked him or liked her, whatever it is. And then that is the first vritti you liked. But that liking is working inside. Next day, when that serial time comes, you want to see that again. Means that vritti has become stronger inside. And after some time, when you keep on every vritti, this is not only one issue. Television is one thing, but every vritti, if you continuously allow that to come inside, that vritti will get stronger, and when it becomes sufficiently strong, it becomes it gets life then. That means it is capable of making you to do things. That's what it means. Life means that vritti inside has become strong enough to force you to do something, and at that stage, that vritti is called a samskaram. That's why it's called samskaram, right? And then what will happen? Once it has become a samskaram, then every time when you see that person, we are talking about this person, you will without nobody prompting you from outside, without your knowledge, that samskaram inside will force you to get angry with him automatically. Because the samskaram has got life inside, right? So, that is the reason why it is said like that. that it has got life. Samskara means it's got life. That means nobody without prompting you, without anybody prompting you from inside, that samskaram itself will force you to get angry with him again, right? So if you develop a loads of this vritti inside, you can see this sometimes. In some houses, if you carefully observe, you will notice there will be a lot of arguments in the morning, say between 6 to 9. There will be a lot of arguments every day, right? And they are all arguing each other. The father, the mother, the children, they are all arguing about something, each other. Say between 6 in the morning to 9 or 6 to 10 or something like that, right? Then after about 9, 10 o'clock, if you look at them, everything has cooled down in the house. Everybody has become peaceful after this whole drama in the morning. They've argued each other a lot of issues at home, and they argued everything back and forth in the morning, and by about 9, 10, everything calms down, right? And they become so peaceful after that, right? What it is that samskaram has developed in them. Therefore, they are not doing it deliberately, but every day in the morning, this samskaram what they have cultivated, created, that automatically pushes them to argue and fight in the morning. This happens. This happens in the families. I don't know whether you have observed that or not. I have seen this in many, many families. In the morning, there's arguments. Father and mother arguing each other. Children also getting involved. And lot of arguments in the house about various things. And then you will start thinking, is this the beauty of family life? Constantly arguing about every little thing, they will argue and argue back and forth whole morning. And by about 10 o'clock, the house is peaceful. Why is that? Because both husband and the wife, probably the children also, has practiced this, and that vritti, chitta vritti inside has become a samskaram in them. In the family. It has become a samskaram. And that samskaram will operate in the morning for a few hours. And then they calm down. And you start wondering, is this the same people who are arguing each other like this a few hours before? Right? So, they are not doing it deliberately. Every day they want to do it. They are not able to stop it. Probably it has happened once or twice previously, before all this. And then it has become a samskaram and it has become daily affair. This is what it has happened, right? And they have become a slave of that samskaram, right? They cannot stop it. Just like coffee drinking in the morning, yeah? Initially, nobody wanted to drink coffee. When you came to this world, you were not thinking about coffee. But then you got used to it, right? And after some time, you will see at home, husband and wife arguing each other. Husband says, I didn't get my morning coffee. And the wife gets upset about it, and then argument starts. Right? Similarly, it is very much similar to that. Some men, when they don't get their morning coffee, they get so upset, and they will make the whole house like a battlefield because they didn't get their coffee in the morning. There are people like that. Yeah. So what it is that the in the same way. This vritti are also like that. Thoughts are also like that, right? So if you allow this vritti to practice, if you allow the vrittis to grow, it will gradually become samskaram. It will become samskaram, right? Similarly, there are different samskarams we have collected from different lifetimes, and it is all inside us, right? Many different types of samskaram, right? And different kind of samskaram we have collected. It is inside. Householder life is also one samskaram we have collected from different bodies. We went as householders in different bodies, and that samskaram has gone inside. That is why at a certain stage in life, it comes out in us. And then we want to become a householder. And you become a householder, and then after going, not thinking that the problems involved in the householder life, you just get inside that, and then after 30, 40 years, if you manage to get rid of that samskaram inside, then you are lucky. But if the samskaram has not gone inside, then you will go and find again another household alive. Somehow or the other, that samskaram is so strong inside. So all these, similarly there are other samskarams as well. Addiction to different things. It's always come as samskaram inside, right? We keeping this samskaram inside, it is through that samskaram we are seeing the world. You see? You are looking at the world through these samskaram inside us, right? So, lot of things we have heard, lot of things we have experienced in previous life and in this life, that's also inside us as a samskaram. And it is through this samskaram only we are seeing others also, through the samskaram, right? And suppose, and everything, you are looking at the world through this samskaram, right? Another example, you are walking through the street, something is running close to you, somebody is coming closer to you running, and when you get closer, you recognize that it's a dog that's coming to bite you. Somebody's dog is like walking around in the street dog, it's coming and it's going to bite you, right? So immediately your mind started working. Why is that? So that dog is coming to bite me, and buddhi says to me, and ahankaram also agrees with that, and I'm saying to my body, I have to escape from that dog. So there was some way of escaping. There's a tree there, or climb on top of the tree or something like that, right? And so naturally you can see why did I do that? Sometime during childhood you had an experience with the dog, that people have told you, stray dogs wandering around in the street. Yeah. And you remember those days, all dogs are like that. They will, better to keep away from them. And if you get closer to them, you don't know what they will do. They are always hungry, looking for food. And if they get upset with you, they can bite you. Many times people get bitten by the dog, is it not? So that remembrance of that dog is as a samskaram present inside you. And that is why today if I walk through the street and a dog comes running towards you, immediately the thought thinks of the experience as a childhood, what you experienced with the dog, right? Immediately it came about, right? So I have that impression inside that dogs are all dangerous and I have to be careful. So this is what I'm saying, keeping that samskaram inside, I'm looking at the dog and the world outside. If you has understood this secret, that this is how we see the world through our samskaram, then you have got an opportunity to how to change yourself. Ekadasha skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Svabhava Vijayam Dhrithi. That's a statement there. Svabhava Vijayam Dhrithi. How will you win Svabhavam? How will you... Svabhava means character, right? So that it means, how can you change this inner profile of our inner profile, right? So this is how you get to know how different people have different Svabhavam. We are all different. We behave differently, right? So with emotions, when we operate in this world, every emotion, every thought wave will gradually become a samskaram inside us, right? Then what do we have to do then? Very carefully, with full alertness, not to allow building up new samskaram inside. Not to allow new samskaram to build up. Samskaram does not mean culture. Culture is different from samskaram, right? Samskaram, what it does is, it continuously is drawing these pictures inside and knowing very well that all the karma what we do in this world is influencing us every moment. Knowing that, therefore, in Vedantam they will say like this, if you do karma, karma will create vigaram inside, thoughts, emotions inside, right? So the after effect of that you have to experience. This is why in Bhagavad Gita you have to be very careful to understand what Krishna is saying about karma. Krishna saying to us that, he has explained to Arjuna also, first knowledge should be there, proper knowledge should be there while doing karma. Otherwise you will get bound by the karma and you are trapped in that. Yeah? Karma, you cannot get rid of that completely because you have come here to do karma, a certain karma already matured as prarabdham, and that is remaining inside, that is in the form of vasana, it has to be destroyed. So, karma, in Vedanta they say, it's a big trap. Karma is a big trap. In Vedanta, it is always like that. Karma is a big trap, right? Now, if you say that, if it is like that, I'm not going to do any karma, and if you sit like that, there will be thoughts inside, emotions will come. So, if you do karma, the first impact of that, the first emotion is this, I want the results. What's the result by doing this karma, right? That desire itself, and if you think that I won't do any karma, then also you will be in trouble. Because if you don't do any karma, that Krishna is going to say in the next verse, he's going to say that, right? So, if you don't do the karma, the problem is that all these vasanas inside, which is meant to give you that experience, the vasanas, which is lying inside, right, which does not get destroyed, and therefore it will pile up inside. All the vasanas will remain inside. It won't go, right? So, this is the problem. This is the problem, right? So, if you do karma, it is troublesome. If you don't do karma, also it is troublesome. That's the problem with the karma. If you do karma, it is troublesome. If you don't do karma, also it is troublesome, right? If you don't do the karma, what is inside piled up, vasanas, they won't get destroyed. If you do karma, it creates new vasanas. It creates new vasanas. Then how you will get out of this situation? And Krishna is telling you the solution for this problem, right? Krishna is saying to us that is why Krishna used this very famous statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. This is what he is referring to. Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. How to do karma as a yoga. So that you don't get trapped in the karma. Karma is a big trap. Krishna agrees with that. But how to escape from karma? Krishna is saying if you don't do karma, it's a problem. Because the vasanas are there inside, it won't go. You won't be able to get rid of them. The karma vasanas inside. So you have to do karma. But if you do karma, you will get bound by that. It will create fresh vasanas. This is the trap. This is the trap, every one of us. And because it is like that, Krishna is saying, there is a way of handling the karma, how to do the karma. And that skill or expertise to do the karma properly, Krishna says, kaushalam. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. That's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is going to come later, right? So, that means you have to do karma in such a way that no more new vasanas are created inside, and at the same time what's already there inside should be destroyed. They should leave us. The vasanas inside us should leave us. And no more new vasanas should come inside. How to do karma in that way, right? So, if you completely give up karma and run away, that is stupidity. That is foolishness, right? Whichever field we are living in this world, we are operating to live in this world, right? There the karma has to be done in a particular way. And how should I do that karma? In which way should I do that karma so that that karma won't affect me? This is the question. That's what Krishna is going to answer. And that is the next verse. That is the next verse. So, Krishna told Arjuna, you fight, right? You fight. And it says there that the and take Gandivam, the bow, and fight, Krishna says to Arjuna, right? And Uttishta Kaundeya, get up, he said, and fight, right? So Arjuna looked at Krishna. Arjuna looked at Krishna. How should I fight? How should I fight, right? And what should be my attitude? And that is when Krishna spoke the 38th verse. If you look, you will see that. That verse is coming. That's that 38th verse importance. Sukha dukkha same kritva. Labha labhav jaya jayo. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Naivam papam avapsesi. Beautiful words. Krishna is saying, sukha dukkha same kritva. Labha labhav jaya jayo. Tato yuddhaya yujyasva. Naivam papam avapsesi. You have to accept happiness and distress equally, profit and loss equally, winning or losing equally. If you are able to do that and then fight, then you won't be affected by it. Sukha dukkha samaye kritva labha labhav jaya jayo tado yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam avapsesi. That is Krishna's answer for that. Yeah. So, sukha dukkha samaye kritva means you may, when you do a karma, you may profit from that or you may lose it also. You may win or lose, whatever it may be. But that should not create any waves inside. It should not create any waves inside, right? Profit or loss, winning or losing, whatever it may be, fight. That's the question, right? Then he says to him that this war that has come to you in this form, what is present in front of you, right? Krishna is saying this particular verse. Krishna is revealing to us the secret of life, how to live in this world. Is revealing to us through this verse, right? Whatever we do, or the mind does, right? If you have to be peaceful inside, shanti necessary, then this attitude is essential. This bhava, what he has spoken in the sukha dukkha samaye kritva, labha labhav jaya jayo. If you have this attitude, there will be shanti inside. And earlier, Krishna told us that we have two emotions, and that's what we call it as dvandvam, is it not? Yeah, dualistic process. Sukham, dukkham. Earlier Krishna, matrasparashastu kaundeya, shidoshna sukha dukkhada. Krishna keeps on talking about the sukha dukkham all the time. So sukha dukkham, sukham, what is sukham? Sukham means senses and the body, and from that you got some satisfaction, sense gratification or success in life. That is sukham. That is sukham. So what I am expecting from a karma, if I get it, then that is sukham. Yeah. For some people, some things are sukham and something else is dukkham. Right. Some people generally think like that, if you live in a very luxurious life, all comforts, all facilities in life, that is sukham. They think like that, right? So, in Kalidas wrote this famous creation, literary creation, very famous, Shakuntalam. In that Shakuntalam, you know what happened was, Dushyanta married Shakuntala, and Dushyanta had a curse. Curse was that he went back to his palace. And this happened while he was hunting in the forest. He married Shakuntala. Shakuntala was the daughter of Menaka. Menaka was an apsaras woman. She was very beautiful. And after Menaka was born, Shakuntala was born, Menaka being an apsaras woman, she didn't want to stay. She was cursed by someone. She had to go back to heavenly planets. She was an apsaras woman. So she went back. And Shakuntala was left as a baby in the forest. Karna Maharshi picked her up and brought her up in the, being a rishi in the ashram, in the forest, he brought this baby and brought her up, Shakuntala. Shakuntala was very beautiful, because mother being so beautiful, Menaka. Dushyanta went there hunting in the forest. He saw this beautiful girl in the forest, and he being a Kshatriya got attracted to her and decided to marry her. Spoke to Kanda Maharshi, got the permission. Kanda Maharshi married her to Dushyanta. And the sons were born from that. Sons were born from that. And then Dushyanta said to her that I'm going to my palace to live, and you can come there. And because Shakuntala was pregnant at that time, Kanda Maharshi said, it's not a good time to travel. Let her stay here. After the child is born, we'll send her there. Dushyanta went. Dushyanta was cursed, unfortunately. He had a curse. He has completely forgotten about this woman, Shakuntala, whom he married and had the children. So he stays there in the palace. Shakuntala, one day, wanted to go back to her husband. Kanda Maharshi sends her with two boys, rishi children, rishi, who were brought up in the ashram, right? They go there, and when they got there, Kalidas says about that, they felt that they walked through a street which is full of filth, right? And when they got there, they didn't like it. The palace and Rishi Kumaras, were sent by Kanda Maharshi, they wanted to go back. They didn't want to stay there in the palace, right? Why? Their frustration inside. The reason is that for them, that luxurious life was distress. They didn't like it. They just didn't like it, this luxurious lifestyle, right? Because so some people, they like luxurious life. Some others, they don't like it. And because they come from, and this is many times you see this in the Bhagavatam happening. When Shamigha Rishi sent the two brahmacharis to inform Parikshit, when they saw the palace and all that, they just delivered the message and they wanted to get away from there as quickly as possible. That's because they don't like it, this luxurious lifestyle. They like that simple life, and that is their liking is that way. So, that's the same thing, right? So what is liking for someone is dukkham for the other, right? So, similarly, someone who is living very luxuriously in life here, in this world, if you take him to an ashram and may put him in there, he'll be in tremendous distress. Sometimes people join the ashram and then they find it the big struggle, big struggle. There was one devotee like that. I have seen him in Germany. He's Australian, he was. And he was a lawyer or something. He had a lot of money and comforts and all. Something happened in his life. He won't talk much about it. And then he joined the temple. And he was probably 30, 35 year old. And he found it very difficult that he had to sleep on the floor. And he liked to have a coffee before he goes to sleep. And things like that. A lot of things he got used to. His habits were like that. And he thought he was making a big progress in spiritual life by living in the ashram. And he was not comfortable sleeping in the sleeping bag and on the floor and things like that. This monk's life didn't suit him. He was finding it difficult to become a monk. And his marriage is also broken up. So all those thoughts were also in his mind, bothering him. Children were in Australia and wife was somewhere else, things like that. So what I'm saying is that, what you can accept inside, that is happiness. What you cannot, you are rejecting from inside is distress. This is how sukha dukkham works with us. Sukham means, if you are able to accept it, it is sukham. If you are not able to accept it, reject it, that is dukkham. Krishna is saying that, sukha dukkha samaye kritva, labha labho jaya jayo. So, whatever I like, that is sukham. And if something I don't like it, it is dukkham, right? So, what does it mean? This liking, disliking, That is the secret behind sukham and dukham. What you like and what you don't like it, right? So suppose someone who are very close to you, attached to you, whom you like very much, if he dies or she dies, distress, dukham, right? If so, provided you have attachment for that person, right? And some others are thinking that, oh, when is he going to leave this world? So that is also there, right? And they are happy if you leave the world. If you leave this world, they are happy about it. So for them it is not dukkham. For you it is dukkham. For them it is sukham, right? So there are people like that who thinks that if that person somehow or the other die and go away from this world, it's good for everyone. Some people think about others like that, right? So Krishna says to us, this dundvam, sukham, dukkham, Krishna has created like that, and our whole life is controlled by this dundvam. Our life is controlled by this dundvam, sukham, dukkham, right? So, and we are particular, all the time, sukham must come, dukkham should not come. This is our condition, what we want. Always we should have sukham, we don't want dukkham, right? And that is what we are particular about. We are particular, right? So, we'll see, Bhagavatam says, sukhaya dukkha mokshaya, that all work we are doing in this world is for the sake of sukham and not to get dukkham, right? Nobody works in this world to get dukkham. Everybody works for sukham. And we insist on that we want the sukham, right? But unfortunately, the control of this sukham and dukkham is not in our hands, right? And what we think should not happen to us, it happens. What should not come, it comes, right? And we think that this should come, that shouldn't come, but it doesn't come. What can you do about it? It doesn't come. So, similarly, profit and loss, yeah? We want profit in everything, or success, right? Everybody wants that. Labham. Nashtam should not come, labham should come. Similarly, jayam, success should come, parajayam should not come. This, we should not lose anything, right? Sukham is required. So, when we talk about loss, nashtam, or failure, parajayam, everybody is frightened. Krishna is saying to us, if you analyze it a little bit more deeper, you should have to ask this question, why do I want sukham, right? And why am I insisting that dukkham should not come? Krishna is asking us to ask this question. Why am I thinking always, I want sukham in life and I don't want dukkham in life? Similarly, why am I thinking that I always want to profit, labham, and I don't want nashtam, no loss? Similarly, why do I'm insisting that I want jayam, success always, and I don't want parajayam, loss, failure in life? So these are the dundvams, sukham, dukkham, jayam, parajayam, labham, nashtam. Why do we insist that we want sukham, labham, jayam all the time, and we don't want dukkham and nashtam, parajayam, three things? We don't want that. Why is it like that? And what is the reality behind this? What is that making us to think like that? That's Krishna's question. You have to ask that question. What is that making me to think in this way, right? So, something you like, you got it, you feel happy. Something you don't like it, when it comes, problem inside, right? So, the indication is inside us. The effect is inside us, is it not? Right. Just like when you are hungry and then you get food, you eat the food and the hunger is gone, then you feel sukham. Right? So, this hunger is a disease as far as Shastram is concerned. Right? And for that disease, you have taken the medicine, which is the food. And then after taking the food, you have come to the balanced state. Hunger is gone and you feel in a balanced state, right? So you say to others, because I taken my food, I feel I got sukham. You say like that, right? And that means body, when the hunger has gone, it fell to sukham, right? Similarly, dukkham is the negative state, in the sense, for some reason, when the negative state has gone, sukham came, right? So, for some reason, suppose I desire, I want a lot of money in this world, right? That desire has come inside. And through that desire, I'm finding difficulty because the desire is causing problem inside, right? And then when I got some money, somehow the other a lot of money came, that desire has gone and I feel happy inside, sukham, right? So, what did we think? I thought that I got that happiness from that money, what I got. This is how I will, that's how I will think. Normally a person will think like that. Because a lot of money has come, I felt happy from that money. So Krishna is saying, this is called avidya, ajnanam. If you are able to remove that ajnanam from inside, that is what Krishna is going to say now, that you don't have to do anything outside to change, right? All you have to do is remove this avidya inside and then you will become free from dundo. This is Krishna's point. If you are successful in removing this avidya from inside, sukham, dukham, how you are feeling that, you don't have to do anything in the outside world, but if you can remove that avidya from inside, knowing that there is, I'm not going to accept anything or I'm not going to reject anything. That thinking, you see, everything is like that, isn't it? Whether it is money, whether it is name and fame, whether it is something else, whatever it is in this world, it's all a question of how you accept it, whether you accept it or whether you reject it. Krishna, that if this acceptance and rejectance is rejection is called a dundum. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if you have learned the art of handling dundum by not accepting when sukham comes and not rejecting when dukkham comes, able to remain in that state, balanced state, not affected by the dundum, you have won the battle. And that's the secret of life, Krishna is saying. Unless this attitude is there, spiritual life is not possible. Sukha dukkha same kritva, labha labho jaya jayo. Krishna is saying, is it not? In this verse. And he will say this many, many times in the Bhagavad Gita. Tado yuddhaya yujyasya naivam bhavam avapsyasi. So that is the first instruction. He is saying that this, whatever you accept, it is happiness. Whatever you reject, it is distress, right? And whatever gives you, whatever you like, it happens, then sukham. And what you don't like, if it happens, it's dukham. And this liking and disliking of sukham, dukham is the secret of this. That is where you have to operate, right? So, having said that, Krishna is saying here that that avidya, if it leaves you, Krishna says you are halfway through spiritual life, right? not only sukham dukham, labham nashtam, in everything in life. So, like people who are doing business or dealings, they want profit and they don't want loss and they are focused on that. Similarly, a student is writing examinations and he wants to pass, he wants to get good results and he does not want to lose it. Similarly, looking for jobs, some top jobs you are looking for. If you get it, you are happy. If you don't get it, you are unhappy. In everything is this duality is working all the time. Dundvam, right? So, Krishna's point is, whatever happens in the outside world, no matter what happens, right? If you have this state of mind inside, unaffected by the success or failure, profit or loss, or happiness or distress, then no matter what happens outside, no movement will happen inside. Krishna is saying here. So any amount of instances happen, where a lot of happiness in life comes, it won't move because inside you are Purnam, perfect inside. So Krishna says that state is similar. So many rivers are flowing into the sea. So much water is flowing into the sea. But look at the sea, never overflows, is it not? Sea remains calm, in spite of so much water flowing into the sea. And similarly, in the summertime, the ocean doesn't dry up. And when all the rivers are bringing, so many rivers flowing into the sea remains stable, right? That Purnada. Whether happiness comes, Purnam, perfection. Where Dukkham comes, Purnam. Similarly, Krishna is saying, Labham Nashtam, Jayam Parajayam, Profit Loss, Success Failure, whatever it may be, able to remain like that, Purnasthiti, Krishna is calling that, is very important, these two words, Yoga State, Yogasthiti. One is Yogasthiti, another word Krishna using is Samasthiti. Samasthiti or Yogasthiti, right? So this is important because this is coming as instructions from Krishna to Uddhava later. Remember? Tundu sarvam paritejya, sneham sojane bandushu, maya vesya, mana samyak. Then he said, samadrik. And that is this city. Samadrik vijarasodam. Spiritual life is not possible without all these things. If this sthiti is important, if this hasn't happened, then that means you are not making any progress in spiritual life. Just because you are doing a lot of sadhana and all other things, ultimately the purpose is to come to this state. That is a proof of success in spiritual life. Yeah. Mind has got two states, as you know. One is called samasthiti, other one is called vishamasthiti. Right? So Arjuna got this vishamasthiti. And from that vishamasthiti means this unbalanced state. And in order that, to bring it back to the samasthiti, samasthiti means equilibrium, that equilibrium state, for this Bhagavad Gita was spoken, right? Samam vishamam. Samam means that balanced state, that means that perfection inside, untouched by the events happening outside. Profit loss, sukham dukkham, jayam, parajayam, all these things has no impact, right? So when sukham comes or dukkham comes, same anubhuti, same experience inside. Similarly, labham nashtam comes, same anubhuti inside. Jayam, success, failure comes, same anubhuti inside. If you are able to stay like that, Krishna calls that as yogasthiti or samasthiti. So this yogasthiti and samasthiti is what Krishna is trying to bring it to Arjuna by saying these things, the idea behind that, right? So, therefore, sukha-dukkha-same-kritva, labha-labha-jaya-jayau, tato-yuddhaya-yujyasya-naivam-prabham-avapsyasi. Sukham-dukham, these two things, Krishna is saying, make it samam, able to accept it as samam. And he explained that the way it was spoken, right? So, once you enter into field of karma, once you start doing karma, all these things are blocks in the path of karma. Suppose in the beginning itself when you start the karma, I want to be happy in my life, that shows that your shraddha is more on the results of the karma, not in the work. This problem is always there. And then what happens is, because the results didn't come, you look for the wrong ways to make money in life. It will go in the wrong direction, right? So, generally in the government offices and all that, this is a problem because all of them, government offices, people who are working there, they feel their job is safe and they want to make more money. And corruption comes in naturally with that, right? So their mind is focused on what they're going to get from the work. That's the way they think about it, right? So elites, they have decided already within themselves, right, that I need these results, otherwise I won't be happy. But Krishna is saying here, if your approach is different, that not worried about what comes from the results or not, irrespective of that, if you are able to do the karma, then you are doing in perfection, purnada. So Krishna is asking Arjuna, without this movement inside, in that yoga sthiti or samasthiti, fight. This is Krishna's request to Arjuna, right? If you fight on that basis, nobody will be able to defeat you. Krishna is saying, nobody will be able to defeat you if you have this state of mind inside, right? In order to explain that, in Yoga Vasishtam, they talk about three demons, a story about three demons, right? And what they do is, these demons were fighting with the demigods. Demigods struggled very hard to beat them. They couldn't. Demigods tried very hard to beat these demons and they couldn't beat them, right? And what they noticed was that after fighting with them, the demigods noticed these demons were not fearful at all and they were not feeling any struggle with the fighting, and the demigods could not understand the secret behind that. How the demons were able to fight like this. They were fighting and they were not affected by winning or losing, and they were not fearful about it, concerned about the success or failure, and they were accepting when they were, all the time they were winning the war, right? So what the demigods did was, they went to Lord Brahma and asked Brahma about this. Why is it like this? He said, what is the secret behind this? We have tried very hard, but it has become impossible to beat them, right? So, they told him, Brahma told them, the reason is this, they don't have ego inside. Ahankaram is not there. And they are not thinking winning or losing, happiness or distress. And they are also not bothered whether they live or die. And this is how they are fighting the war. Their approach is like that. They are fighting like a machine is fighting, right? And you won't be able to make them lose in this way. Because this is their approach is like that. Winning or losing is not important. And similarly, happiness or distress, they are not bothered. After winning the war, they are going to be happy, or by losing the war, they are going to be unhappy. No. And similarly, they don't want to live or die, also not bothered. So that means they succeeded, able to, not to allow dvandvam to get inside. Suppose the asuras wanted, they want to win, they don't want to lose. That thought has not appeared in them. They were just fighting, not concerned about happiness or distress, or whether to live or die. All these things, duality, didn't bother them. Just like a machine is fighting, they were fighting, right? And that is the reason Brahma said to them that you are not able to do anything with them, because they don't get tired. Because they are not particular about anything. They are just fighting like a machine, right? So, if you want them to lose, then all you can do is, those who have lost someone to someone, only then they will feel the, first of all, they have to experience this losing a battle, right? So, there is only one way of making this happen, right? Somehow or the other, you have to create ahankaram in their mind, inside. They don't have ahankaram now. These asuras who are fighting, they don't have ahankaram. Because those things, sukham dukham, and similarly, I have to live and I should not want to die, all these things are centered around ahankaram, is it not? It's the ahankaram inside us is dealing with the duality. Sukham, dukham and all that It's all for the ahankaram only. Atma is not bothered. Whether you win or lose, succeed or fail, profit or loss, Atma is not touched by all that. It is the ahankaram who is affected by that. So Brahma is saying to demigods, they don't have this ahankaram inside them. And that is why they are able to fight like this. You see? So this can happen anywhere, even with the asuras, right? So you have to find some way whereby you can create some ahankaram inside them, right? So every time these people, the demigods, will go to fight with these asuras, and when they when they come to fight, they will run away from there. Who? Demigods will run away from there. And while going, running away from the battlefield, they will praise them. Who? The demigods will praise the asuras. They will praise them, right? And tell them that, while they will praise them like this, we won't be able to fight with you and win this war, right? Now, how powerful you are. In this way, the demigods are glorifying the demons, right? And then they'll say that, we have never fought with anyone so powerful like you. Saying that, the demigods will offer us obeisances to them and walk away from there. And then after some time, few days, again they'll go and challenge them to come for the fight. So they will come. So few times demigods did this to these demons. And the demons, after some time, started thinking that they are superior to the demigods. So that is how they created the ahankaram inside. So after a few times, when the demigods did this to the demons, demons started thinking that we are superior to them. And with that, ahankaram has come. And every time they wanted to be particular, that because we are superior, I have to win all the time. Because I'm superior, I have to win all the time. And gradually, this ahankaram, vyakti bodham, woke up inside them, inside the demons, right? At that time, they lost it. Ahankaram started working, they lost it, right? So, the moment they started insisting that they should win the battle, when they started insisting, immediately after that, they lost it. If you want to understand this story, what we have spoken here, Vritrasura story in the Bhagavatam is a typical example of this, right? This is the same story in the Bhagavatam. You will see there that the in the sixth canto, twelfth chapter, the first verse, if you look at it, what happens? Vritrasura is fighting with Indra. That's the scene. Vritrasura is fighting with Indra. Right? Evam jihasur nirbadeha majau mrityam varam vijayan manyamana. First verse. Shulam pragrihya bhavatal surendram yatha mahapurusham kaita bopsu. Vijayan manyamana is saying that he's taking, Vritra took out the sword. Vritra took out the sword. And he wants to fight. Yeah? And he's saying that when he pulled out the sword, he's saying, Mrityu is better. Mrityum varam vijayan manyumanam. Right? And his approach is, death is not important. Death is not a concern at all for Vritrasura, right? More important than that, he's saying that Mrityu is better than winning. He's saying like that. Mrityu, death is better than winning the battle with Indra, right? how to destroy him, right? It is not important for him whether he lose it or death happens or beaten, right? In other words, that sums up Vritrasura's mindset. You see, Vritrasura is saying there that I have no attachment to life in this world. I don't want to live in this world. Means he has no attachment to body, attachment to life in this world. Yeah? Asakti is not there. And similarly, he is also saying later, he doesn't want liberation either, right? And even while in his prayers, Vritrasura is saying, I have nothing to ask from you. I don't need anything from you. Right? So that is why later on Vritrasura says, na naga prashtam, na cha parameshtim, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadibhatyam, na yoga siddhi, abunarbhavamba, samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. Remember famous verses of Vritrasura in the chapter before that. You will see at the very end, in the 11th chapter, at the end, yeah? The three verses, Vritrasura's prayers, that is. So, with that mind, I don't want anything. Na naga prashtam, na cha parameshtam, na sarvabhavam, na rasadivatyam, na yoga siddhi, abhunarbhavam va samanjasattva virahaya kamshe. So, with that way of mind, is an indication that he has transcended dundum. Duality is not bothering him anymore. Success or failure, he is able to accept it in an equal way. That is what that verse is showing to us. Yeah? So, when it has come to like that, he has no physical needs, wants, neither he has any psychic wants. Therefore, what happened? That Indra is finding it difficult to kill him. Indra fought the war. Indra has brought that special thunderbolt which he got manufactured to kill Vritrasura, and he is still not able to kill him, right? So Vritrasura has managed to, you know why that story is in the Bhagavatam, to teach us what this Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, on a story level you can say what happened. Vritrasura was a great devotee and all that, you can say like that. But the underlying principle behind that is to show to us that if you have developed this yoga sthiti or samasthiti, what Vritrasura has developed, you can never lose it, fail it. In any circumstances, you won't be affected by that. It's something very deeply you have to analyze it. How this fight between... Actually, when you read this as a story only, you will start thinking, why did Vritrasura lose? And Vritrasura size was so huge. And Vritrasura managed to get Indra inside. And then he cut open the stomach and came out from Vritrasura's belly. Indra came out. He swallowed Indra, he went inside. Yeah, he was so big. And everybody thought Indra is finished. But look at the way Vritrasura was fighting the war. He is concerned, winning and losing is all not important for him. Why is that? In previous life, he was a Chitraketu. That devotee, due to his offense to Sri Parvati Devi, Parvati Devi cursed him, and due to that prarabdham, he got this Vritrasura's body. So, Chitraketu wanted to get out of this curse and wants to go back. And he had to do what he has to do for that. For that, this yoga state is required. And therefore, because he fought that battle in that yoga state, samasthiti, nothing could be done. Ultimately, Vritrasura got what he wanted. He did not want to stay in that Vritrasura's body forever. And Indra was trying to survive his position, look after his position. But actually, Vritrasura was on a higher state. He is getting liberated once for all, whereas Indra is going back to his position as the king, as the head of the demigods in the heavenly planets, right? So, this is to indicate to us that Vritrasura's state of mind is higher than Indra's state of mind. Indra winning the war means for him he is going to get back to the heavenly planets. Vritrasura leaving the body means he is getting liberated. So see the two scenarios. And that is why that prayer at the end of that chapter, you have to connect with the first verse in the 12th chapter. Only then you will realize what a great principle Vedavyasa Maharshi has put through that Vritrasura and Chitraketu fight. It is making us to explain to us that what Krishna is saying here, samadukka sukhe krutva, sukadukka same krutva, labha labhau jaya jayo. Vritrasura has gone beyond all these things. Yeah. And therefore Krishna is trying to create that same mind Vritrasura had in Arjuna. Same state of mind, right? So what is basically Krishna is saying to Arjuna is, perfection is not in the world outside. We all think like that, don't we? We think if everything is succeeded in the world outside, we have become perfect. Krishna is saying, your success is not becoming perfect in the world outside, which you will never become perfect, right? Whereas actual success is inside, internal. That is where actual success is. Just like here you can see, Vritrasura was successful, Indra was not successful. Indra was looking for success in the outside world, Vritrasura was looking for success in the inside world. So that battlefield between Indra and Vritrasura, there's a lot of things involved in that to explain to this. In the story level, yes, you can see was Chitraketu got cursed by Sri Parvati. And when he left Kailasam, after offending Sri Parvati, he offered obeisances to Sri Parvati and told her, my dear mother, I have some prarabdham to go through a body like that. That means Chitraketu was seeing from a higher level. He is not looking at from a temporary success or failure. He is more concerned about what is stopping him from realizing the truth, self-realization. And this has come in the way as a problem. Which one? This offense to Sri Parvati. So Sri Parvati said to him that you will go to that Vritrasura's body, get through it, and you will be alright after that. So, and then there's a conversation between Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva, talking about Lord Shiva is glorifying Vritrasura, Chitraketu there at that time. So we have to study the Shastram from the point of view like this, who gained ultimately. We will sing the normal, Indra won, he lost. That's what we will say. Actually, Vritrasura won, Indra lost. That's the way to see that battle. Yeah. So that is a principle here. And because perfection is not possible outside, outside it is not possible, and that is not the right thing either. And always outside, it's a state of misunderstanding for us, isn't it? Outside success always lead to misunderstanding. We think we have become successful, then something else comes and that success is gone. Yeah. So sometimes you can see this. Some people, they sleep very comfortably in an air-conditioned room and they are not getting sleep. And someone is on the street sleeping and he gets good sleep. How will you explain that? You go to London sometimes, they're rough sleeping. People are rough sleeping, isn't it? And some of them are sleeping very nicely. Even though the whole traffic is going on, the main road, people are driving everywhere and people are walking and they are sleeping comfortably. And someone at home in an air-conditioned room with everything comfortable is not getting sleep. Right? So, the anandam, what the people with who are taking, begging for food, bhiksha, the anandam what they have, sometimes rich people don't have it. They don't have it. Whereas avidya is concerned, it is equal to both of them. Right? But perfection, avidya is concerned, is equal to both of them. And external situation is different for both of them. But perfection is only when that internally, if you have that yoga state, samatha. That is why he is saying there, sukham or happiness is an internal thing, andarikam, internal thing it is. So that principle is what Krishna has brought forth in that verse. Sukhadukha samaye kritva labha labhau jaya jayo. I know it takes some time to come to terms with that verse, because we got conditioned by our way of thinking. I want sukham, I don't want dukham. I want profit, I don't want loss. I should win always. That's what has been pumped into us from right from age 5 in the school. You started with that, is it not? Whole school days, college days, and during the working life, this is the only principle that was driving us. I want to win, I don't want to lose. I want to be a profit. Everything I should make a profit, I don't lose anything. Sukham dukham. And the Bhagavad Gita's principle is different. Bhagavad Gita is saying that if you have learned this art, how to deal with sukham dukham, labham, nashtam, jayam, parajayam, if you have learned it, handle it equally well, then your life, Krishna is saying that you are in the samasthiti, you are in the yoga state, yogam, karmasu, kaushalam. That's where it is coming from. So there is a big overhaul required inside, because of this is what is called avidya. Avidya is all these things, that everything we have misunderstood in life due to living in this world. Society has put all this avidya inside us. You have to be winning all the time. You have to be winning all the time. And you can't accept any distress comes in life, you have to suffer from that. When distress comes, you'll suffer, you have to suffer, right? And so sukham dukham you can't accept. Similarly, everything you have to be profitable. Everything what you do in this life, it has to end up successfully. Labham. Yeah. You have to win everywhere, every race, you have to be winning. In this way, it is decided like that here. Yeah. So we'll have a short break and we'll continue after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pratipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subanambaram vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnama Gari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nivida Smarnina Kala Drishitava Kriba Bhagavan Mamati Durdeva Midrashamiha Janina Nuragaha Tranara Bishani Chena Tarora Bisahishnuna Amanina Mana Dena Kirtani Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadishakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ayi nandatanyuja kingaram patitamam shami bhavam budau krupayata upada pangajastita doli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galada shudharaya padanam gadgadiruddhaya gira pulagair nijitam gada vabotavan namagrahane bhavishyadi yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva Yatha tadava vidada dhulam bhado malpranana dhastuna evana bhara sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. So Krishna said in that verse, sukha dukha samaye kritva labha labhau jaya jayau attato yuddhaya yujyasya naivam papam avapsesi. So Krishna has used the word naivam papam avapsisi. He says, if you do it like this, there is no papam. He says, there it is not sinful. Otherwise, it is sinful. You understand that? Because he says, when you do karmam, the result in the world outside what you what has happened is not the important thing. If you have not succeeded in getting rid of the vasanas from inside, that is papam. That's what he is saying that. Naivam papam avapsesi, he says. That means, while doing karmam, if it has not resulted in emptying the vasanas inside, getting rid of the vasanas from inside, it is papam, Krishna says. That is a sinful thing. Not the other thing, what happened due to your work, to the karmam, something went wrong in the world, something bad happened. That's not papam. If your vasanas have not gone, that's papam. Krishna says that. Yeah. Anyway, so having said all that, Krishna says that perfection has to be inside, not outside. So for that, what is required, one has to make that understanding proper. Inside success, how to be successful. And success inside means vasanas have gone from inside. For that, what do one has to do? He says that in your actions in life, mind should not be dependent too much on the external things. Taking shelter of external things. And the point Krishna is making is that if you have developed a nature of dependent on things outside all the time, like money, home, other facilities, comforts in life, friends, family, all these things, you cannot trust them. Krishna's point is that. Don't trust them. And if you trust them, and if your expectations are there, you will suffer from that. This yoga sthiti will never come. Do you get the point? Krishna is saying that temporary things, if you take shelter and start feeling shelter in that, which is in everybody, we all have that, that we feel protection in the family, protection in the money, protection in the house, protection in the police, protection in the government, and all kind of things. All these protection, Krishna is saying, because they are temporary by nature, and if you have put all your faith in all those things, one day or the other, they will cheat you. That's the point. Krishna is making that. You know, in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, this point is spoken very strongly. That is why in Bhagavatam, the last chapter, canto, is called Ashrayam, isn't it? Whom should you take shelter? Ashrayam. Right? So what we have done is, things you cannot trust, you have put your faith in them. Including this body. You cannot trust this body. When it will cheat you, you don't know. Any day anything can come, body can get sick, and all your plans and expectations will go straight away. Same thing with the family. Same thing with the money. Same thing with any other shelter, whatever you felt in this world. None of them, Krishna says, don't trust anything. Don't put your faith in any of these things. And if you do take shelter of them, one day you will suffer. Krishna's point is. So, for example, people who are with us now, there is no guarantee that they will be with us forever. And if you start thinking, oh, they'll be with us, as long as they are there, it's okay. This finding thinking itself is wrong. He's saying here, if you start thinking like that, when they leave, you will be depressed. Heavily depressed with that, right? And similarly, wealth also. If you think that wealth is going to look after, to give you a shelter, there's money, plenty of money in the bank, or investments here and there, and thinking that I'm well off now, there's nothing to worry, Krishna says, again, you've gone wrong. Right? So if you have a lot of wealth, and when you look, some wealth goes away, you will be extremely miserable. So, Yajnavalkya Maharshi talks about this to Maitreya. Right? So, anything if you put your faith or you love anything apart from Atma, from the Self, right, then you are in trouble. This is Yajnavalkya Maharshi saying to Maitreya. Remember, Krishna is speaking the same language of the Rishis, right? If you love the wealth, if you love, some people like the lot of wealth, isn't it? So, one day, that wealth will leave you, or you have to leave the wealth. Either way. In other words, separation will happen. Suppose you have worked very hard and earned and made a lot of wealth in life, you will feel very difficult at the time of death. Oh, I worked so hard and made all this wealth and now I have to leave without anything in the hand, with open hands. Yeah. Similarly, he says here that a wife who loved her husband so much, a lot of love for the husband, right? If you develop that attachment, then when the husband leaves, you will be in trouble. Similarly, a man who loved his wife so much that he could not live without her, one day when the wife sleeps, she will be in trouble. He'll be in trouble, right? Similarly, people, this is all Maitreya Maharshi, Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying to Maitreya. Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying to Maitreya, one who is very famous in this world, one day fame also will go, will not stay, right? So therefore, anything separately from Atma, Antaryami, Krishna, inside, apart from that, anywhere, if you get attached, Krishna says, you will be in trouble. This principle we have to accept in spiritual life. That's a fundamental requirement. That is how spiritual life you become, Vairagyam comes like this, with this understanding, right? And what happens is, first thing, they will drop, or wealth will draw, whatever it is, and it will pull you also into depression. You will also go, right? So, Brahmachari means one who is moving towards Brahman realization, right? Or whose mind is absorbed in the Brahman. But sometimes people who are not married, in India will say like this, it's a Brahmachari, you'll say. That's not actually correct. He's not going towards Brahman, right? So, you're supposed to have all your mind completely focused and absorbed in the thing what does not move, which is Brahman, right? So, if anywhere else, if your mind is focused, right, that will fall and you will also fall along with that, right? So, where that is this principle, that only if you take shelter of Ishvara, Krishna, only then you are safe. Otherwise, you are in a danger zone. Whatever it may be, doesn't matter. That we'll call it in different ways. Either Paramatma, you can say Antaryami, or Krishna, or Ishvara. Whichever way you address that, the shelter can be only with Atma, with the soul, right? So therefore, ashrayam means taking shelter, should always be with Shashvata Vastu. Shashvata Vastu means permanent Vastu, which is permanent. Anything temporary thing, if you take shelter, if you take ashrayam, that will fall and you will also fall along with that. If you take shelter of permanent thing, Shashvata Vastu, that won't fall and you also won't fall. Right? So, that Shashvata Vastu, permanent thing, what is that? That is why Krishna stressed that word, Nityam Sarvagata Sthanu Achaloyam Sanatana, earlier. He said that, did he not? Nityam Sarvagadam Sthanu Achalam Sanatanam. Five things. He mentioned that before, right? So, and that Nityam Sarvagata Sthanu Achalam Sanatanam only applies to Atma. Nothing else. Only applies to Atma. So, if you realize Atma, self, and if you found happiness from Atma, then mental happiness, what we feel now from the world outside, all that, all mental happiness has got dvaitam in that. Duality will be there, right? It will bring dvaitam. Mind will bring dvaitam and it will create problems, right? So, that is why they say that in the Lalita Sahasranam there is a statement about that, right? So, the avidya will come inside and trap us due to that, right? Duality will come. Duality means this sukham dukham, good and bad, dharmam, adharmam. This is all duality. You remember Krishna said that from the very beginning itself, isn't it? Matras parashastu kaundeya, shi doshna sukha dukhada, agam apayino anityam tam tidikshastu bharada. So dealing with dundvam, this duality is a big thing. One who has come to spiritual life. Dealing with duality is a big thing. And therefore Krishna began with that because Once dvandvam comes, it will become ragadvesham. Dvandvam creates ragadvesham inside, right? Everything is dvaitam, and here a question will come, is it destiny or is it effort, your effort? That question comes with people's mind, right? Destiny or free will, they say, right? So, people who ask this question, sometimes people ask that question, isn't it? When problems come in life, is that, should I accept it as destiny? Or should I have my free will to decide what it is, right? So the principle is this, that people are asking this question, they have not understood the root of both of these things. The root behind that, right? Because there is duality, it is from duality you are asking this question. Because of the duality, right? It is from there this question is coming up. Whether the destiny for whom? And effort or free will for whom? If you ask that question, then who is experiencing the destiny? Or who is experiencing the free will? If you inquire about that, you know that these are all coming from ahankaram. It's not coming from Atma, is it not? Atma is not bothered about any of these things. Atma is so independent. Nityam, sarvagata, sthanu, anchaloyam, sanadana. That is Atma's position. Ahankaram is the one who is asking this question. Who is this, free will or is it destiny? Right? So, and that ahankaram is not real even. It's not even real, right? Then you ask this question that you are talking about, you are analyzing something which is coming from a wrong source itself. Ahankaram itself is a wrong thing. It's a wrong thing, it is present inside, which is not real either, because if it is real, it should stay forever. But when you get liberated, ahankaram goes away. Ahankaram leaves us, is it not? At the time of, that's what self-realization means. Basically, jiva bhavam goes away from inside us. So it is not jiva anymore. Jiva bhavam has gone completely. So if it is like that, and if something is happening in that ahankaram, why you take it so seriously? This is Krishna's question. Krishna is asking that question to us, that something that is coming from ahankaram, you are analyzing it, and you are trying to find, logicize it, whether it is destiny or it's free will and all that. People who are asking that question, they have not understood spiritual life properly. If they have understood spiritual life properly, they won't ask this question even. Because both ahankaram, both destiny as well as free will are all based on ahankaram. Nothing to do with the Atma inside. Yeah. So ultimately what remains is that Advaita Satyam, that Andaryami, what is it? So, what Dvaitam does is, Dvaitam will play this game all the time. Things doesn't actually exist, it creates that and puts you into suffer from that. Makes you to suffer from that. And these, all these things, Sukham, Dukham, Labham, Nashtam, Jayam, Parajayam, all these are activities of the mind. Kalpana of the mind, right? And mind is playing with you. Krishna is saying, mind is playing with you and you have to learn how to jump out of that, this trap. Mind is playing with us and Krishna is saying, you have to learn the art of how to jump out of this trap, right? What is the method? Come out of freedom from dvandvam, right? And because he's saying here that all these emotions are happening in the mind, is it not? Sukham dukham, jayam parajayam, labham nashtam, it's all happening in the mind only. And if you have, whether happiness comes or distress comes, if you can make the contact with that vastu behind all this, behind the mind, which is this Andaryami, and if you have stationed in that Andaryami, then this sukham, dukkham, labham, nashtam, jayam, parajayam will not affect you. In other words, Krishna is saying this, the only way it is, we can become free from this duality is becoming stationed in the Atma, in the Andaryami, right? So, and you remain as a witness to everything what is happening in the mind. Sakshi Bhava, right? So, establish in the Swarupam and see everything what is happening inside as a witness. What is happening in the mind, what's happening in the ahankaram, what's happening in the buddhi, what's happening in the body, everything, you have to look at it as a witness because your awareness should be in the Atma. Right. So, because Krishna says that you are actually Purnam, perfect you are inside, and labham, nashtam and all is not actually affecting you, sukham, dukham, none of them, and a person in that state, he can do any karma in this world, any amount of time, and you will not be affected by the reaction from that. You see the science behind that? That pavam won't come to him. Now, when ahankaram dumps something, ahankaram does something, the reaction can be sinful reaction or a pious reaction. That also doesn't exist in the antaryami. So, Krishna is saying here, that the that if you have learned that art of dealing, working in the world with this understanding, then papam, that is why he used that word there. You see that word, Krishna? This is an unbelievable thing, that tado yuddhaya yujyasya naivam papam avapsyasi. Think through that verse carefully. Sukha dukkha same krutva labha labhav jaya jayo. Tado yuddhaya yujyasya naivam papam avapsyasi. You kill anyone, no papam will come from that. Provided this knowledge is inside. You are stationed in that knowledge. You are in that state. And then you can fight, no reaction will come. Any amount of people you kill, because it has come as a part of the Swadharmam, and you have done that. You are not affected by that. That's the most beautiful part of that verse. Naivam papam avapsisi, Krishna is saying. Normally people will read these words and start thinking, even if you kill people, there is no sinful reaction from that. Naturally your mind will go in that. The reason for saying that is, Krishna is saying, that these dundvam, sukham, dukham, labham, alabham, jayam, parajayam, all these things, Krishna is saying is all based on ahankaram. It is for the ahankaram, because you are seeing dundvam inside and you are identifying with ahankaram, therefore you have to accept the sinful reaction. But if you are established in the antaryami, on your real identity as a self, and in that knowledge, if you are doing the karma, no reaction will come from that. So that's the important thing. Yeah. So after saying that, Krishna says there that the so this requires a little deeper introspection. First thing is that to accept that this whole creation is working under somebody's direction, under control of someone, right? Ishvara. You call this Ishvara in the Bhagavad Gita. Others may call another name, whatever it may be. But accepting that a superior power is running this whole show. Yeah? And when it is happening, right, all the activities in this creation also is happening under his direction. And when he is doing that, why do I have to think separately from that? I am an individual and I am doing something and that is important. And I am responsible for this, I am responsible for that. This kind of thinking is that dundvam comes. That's where dundvam comes. Provided if you accept that superior power is controlling this whole show. And this is the problem today also. Everywhere in the world, this understanding hasn't gone deep enough. Basically, that's what the problem is. People are not able to accept this. That a superior power has created this. If he has created this, he knows how to run that as well. Why do I have to take the responsibility on my shoulder to make sure that everything is working? I have to change this world. And also we have to accept that I was not sent here to fix it, to fix this world. Actually, all this understanding is missing in the society. We have been told all the time by the society, by the education, everything, oh, you got so much responsibility on your shoulder. The country has to develop. Country and all we have created. In Krishna's creation, no country exists. These are all just jivas. who had been sent here to get through their karma vasana and finish the karma and escape from here. But without understanding that principle, that behind this, there is a higher power who controls everything. Creation, maintenance, destruction is all in his hands, not in my hands or your hands. And he is responsible for that. But the moment I start thinking, I have a responsibility to do things here, I am responsible for this, dundum has come. Straight away, dundum has come, right? And that means ahangaram has taken over. Ahangaram. And Krishna is saying, that is sinful. That's what he's saying here. That is sinful. Tado yuddha yujyasya naivam papam avapsisi. Immediately once you start thinking like that, it is papam. Sinful, it is sinful, right? So with that papam, what happens? You yourself gets punished for that. You yourself will get punished. What is the punishment? Punishment is this. When ahangaram pops up, immediately distress starts coming in life, right? And whatever you do, you have to accept the reaction of that. So the result will have to be accepted then. So this is what Krishna is saying here. Kartrutvam. Remember? Kartrutvam. What problem kartrutvam creates? Kartrutvam means doership, right? Kartrutvam comes means you have to accept punyam papam. Pious results and sinful results. You have to accept. Once you accept kartrutvam, once you take care of kartrutvam. That is why Krishna is saying from the very beginning, these four things, ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. If these four things, if not gone from us, spiritual progress is difficult then. You can do any amount of sadhana, whatever you like, for any amount of time, but ultimately, this world is holding us very strongly, in the strong grips of the world, and that grip is these through four things. Ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. Not the buildings and the rivers and the mountains and that all these things. They are not the world. The impact of the world on us is in these four things. Ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. So Krishna is explaining that subtle side of life to make us understand that. And he's making Arjuna to understand this. All this ignorance in your head is dictating to you that I won't fight and they are my relations and they are my family members and all. Krishna says, forget about all that thing. There's nothing to do with the reality. So he spoke about ragadvesham first and now he's talking about kartrutva bhoktrutva, how to become free from that. So the moment we accept that, we are separately from the creation, another individual on our own, and then we start thinking, this world is separate from me, I have to fix this world. Otherwise that thought will never come. World is managed by somebody, that superior power. I don't have any responsibility, it's not on my shoulders. All I have to do is to obey the orders and live the proper life in this world. Not to trouble others and not to take others' wealth and things like that. Yeah. Once this kartrutvam comes in, kartrutvam comes at this time. The moment you start separating from the creation, think of yourself as an individual responsible for this world, all kinds of things, what has gone in your head, right? So that kartrutvam comes, and when kartrutvam comes, Krishna is saying that's papam. Papam avapsisi. That papam is referring to that kartrutvam, the doership, right? And if kartrutvam comes, it is inevitable that you will have to experience dukkham. Dukkham will come from that. All sufferings will come that. Naivam papam avapsisi. So therefore, if the mind stays in the samasthiti, that yoga sthiti, what Krishna has spoken, then the experience will be brahmanubhuti. So if the samasthiti, if the mind stays in the samasthiti, and then you are able to make touch with that andaryami behind that bodham. Andaryami said bodham, which is actually keeping this mind working. Without that, mind also won't operate. And when you start realizing that is your swarupam, that's my identity, and not this body, mind, intelligence, senses and ahangaram and all that. If that realization happens, then Krishna says kartrutva bhoktrutva would go. Till we realize that self, kartrutva bhoktrutva won't go. Won't go, right? And when you realize the self, kartrutva bhoktrutvam goes away, sukham dukham will not be there. This identification with the mind has gone. It is only due to identification with the mind, Krishna is saying there all these problems. Sukham dukham, labham nashtam, jayam parajayam, everything. So dukkham won't disturb you anything, there won't be any sinful reactions. And no faults can happen inside. So otherwise, even pious things what you have done here is also sinful. Krishna is saying, even pious things you may have done, good things you may have done in this world, pious activities, even that is sinful. If you have done it with kartatva bhoktatva. Yeah. So, punyam is also papam then. Papam is papam, right? So, punyam papam, that is also dvandvam. You see, punyam papam is also dvandvam, and that will also disturb this balanced state of the mind. The samasthiti. Remember what Krishna said first. Samasthiti or yogasthiti is the ideal situation. Anything apart, samasthiti, yogasthiti, apart from that, anything what else happening inside is this disturbance. Is disturbance. So therefore, Krishna said from the very beginning, and how many times he has spoken that in the Bhagavad Gita, if you keep on reading it, you will see in so many different ways he has said the same thing. All yoga is for this, to get this samasthiti inside. Yeah. So, and he says to Arjuna that if you have managed to develop this state of mind, samasthiti, then go and fight and kill as many as you want. You won't have any sinful reaction from that. Whether you kill Bhishma, whether you kill Drona, whether you kill Duryodhana, it's all same then. Because the samasthiti is there. But samasthiti is so important. Krishna has told Uddhava exactly the same thing. If you look into the Ekadasham, when how many times he has said this samasthiti? And you may start wondering, what is this samasthiti so important? It is important. It is the most important thing, this samasthiti. And when Krishna says that, you know, he said to Krishna, Krishna said to Uddhava, that ultimately you should seek my presence in everyone. Did he not? Ekadashami said that. Why did he say that? To get this samasthiti. Because that's the only way you can have samasthiti. Samasthiti is not possible otherwise. If you look through the swabhavam of a person or the namarupam of a person, samasthiti is not possible. So, in order to get this samasthiti, Krishna says, the easiest way is, see my presence in everyone. Remember? In the Ekadasha Skandam, while he was saying this to, in the 28th chapter, I think he mentions this, isn't it? Yeah. Brahmane pulkase stene, brahmane arke spulingage, akrure krurage chaiva, samadrik panditomada. See that word? Samadrik panditomada. Samasthiti is required. He says, nareshu abhishram madbhavam, pumso bhavayado achiral, spardha asuya tiraskaram, sahangaram viyandihi. Visarjas mayamanan swan, drisham vridamja dehigim, pranave dhandava bhoma, asya chandala gomeram. To get this samasthiti, Krishna is giving you various ways how to get there. How to get to that samasthiti. But because if the samasthiti has not happened, then Krishna says, whatever you are doing is sinful. Only in the samasthiti you should act in this world. And then that will not touch you at all, won't create any problems, right? And then he said in the next verse, Yaval sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavo nopachayate tava devam upasidam vangmane kaya vrtubi sarvam brahmalpadam tasya vidyaya alpamanishaya paripashyan uparamet sarvado mukta samshaya. Very categorical terms Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, you go in this world with this mindset, with this state of mind, samasthiti, nothing will happen to you. You'll be safe always. And if you are not got to that state, go to Badrinath, sit there and reflect on this again and again and again till it becomes yours. Nature. Uddhava. He said. So samasthiti is the goal. But to get to that samasthiti, Krishna said, if you look at a person's swabhavam, or if you look at his namarupam, samasthiti is not possible. Samasthiti is only possible if you see that antaryami inside in that person. That's the only way you can see the samasthiti in everyone. Otherwise, samasthiti is not possible. So, that is why he has said that. And Yeah. So, Punyam Papam, pious things you have done in this world, results have come, sukham comes. Sinful things you have done in this world, Papam comes and Dukkham comes with that, right? So both Sukham and Dukkham will make the mind move. Sukham will bring happiness, it will start making. So if a movement happens in the mind, if a movement happens to the mind, that is sinful, Krishna says. That is a principle. Not the activities what you do in this world, and the result of that, we make the judgment on that basis. Something we say, oh, he is very sinful, we say. Or somebody else we say, he is very pious. That has no meaning in Krishna's eyes. Krishna is saying, one who has become free from kartrutvam, and when he does karmam, it is neither sinful nor pious. It is neither sinful nor pious. That is the karmam, what Krishna is talking about here. Right? So, and it is on this principle that Krishna conducted his life in this world. This was his principle, right? So he said to Arjuna also that if you understand this principle, on that basis you can go and fight, nothing will happen, right? So the best example for this Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself, nobody else, right? He worked very hard, did he not? Right? And from appearance day onwards, problems started in the prison. First day, appear itself started, right? And till the last minute, when he left this world, work all the day, all the way through, right? And has anyone said thanks to Krishna for what he has done, right? On the other hand, he got cursed by many people throughout his, you can say, career in life. He got cursed by many people, right? Gandhari cursed him, right? And in spite of all that, nothing affected him, right? Karmana devanetrena jandur dehobhavataye, Krishna says that in the Dashama Skandam, right? And whether nothing, all these things what he has done does not have any impact for one who has realized, one who is in the realized state. Yeah. So this verse is the end of one particular topic in the Bhagavad Gita, right? What that is saying is that sukham dukham, able to see them equally. Similarly, labham nashtam, profit and loss, able to not affecting inside. And realizing that sukham dukham is not the one that is you feel outside through your senses. That is not sukham dukham. The impact of that inside us, our balance of the mind, how much it has affected, that's what matters, right? So, two brahmacharis, and a story is this, like this. Two brahmacharis went to Kashi to study. Kashi was a center of learning at that time. So, two brahmacharis went to Kashi from a remote town in India. Somewhere in the south, they went to Kashi to study, right? So, to study Vedam. Kashi was well known for that, right? So, these two boys, in them days, there was no transport facilities. You have to walk from the village all the way to Kashi, which means there was no communication like today, letters or email or mobiles or anything like that, right? After study, they got to Kashi and they studied there. When they leave home, brahmacharis will tell the parents that one day we will come back whenever it happens after we have finished our studies. And that's how they will go, brahmacharis. And it may take many years for them to come back after the studies. That was the situation. So when they went there, after some time, one brahmachari died out of that, right? And other brahmachari, what he did was, the two brahmacharis went together, one brahmachari died. The other brahmachari, he finished his studies and then he got married to somebody in Kashi and he lived there comfortably in Kashi, right? After some time, years have gone by now, right? Someone from Kashi was coming back to his village, somebody else, was coming back from Kashi to his village, right? And he was trying to go to Rameshwaram. That's why he was to pass through this village, was on the way. So this brahmachari who came to study in Kashi, he came to know that someone is going to Rameshwaram, and he'll be going through the village, right? So he told him that when you go through our village, you find out our families are there, parents, they're all there. Go to both the houses and tell them that one of the brahmacharis is dead and the other person is finished his education, got married and living comfortably in Kashi. You deliver this message to both the families, he said to them, right? And he gave the address also to them, told him where the address is and where you have to go and mention all these things, right? So this person who is going to Rameshwaram, he kept walking, months and months it takes from Kashi to Rameshwaram, isn't it? So he has come to the village where these two boys have come from, brahmacharis have come from. Somehow what happened was, he got this address, got it wrong with the person to whom it was connected. So he went and told in the house from where the brahmachari had come and who died in Kashi. In that house he went and told that he is married now and living comfortably in Kashi. And in the other brahmachari's house he went and told them that he is dead and he is no more now. And when he informed them, they felt very unhappy, miserable about it, you see. What happened was, it is a miscommunication, wrong communication. In the message was properly given, address was properly given, but in his, something went wrong with his memory. He did not properly coordinate right way, right address, right information he didn't give. He gave the wrong information in both places, in other words, right? So, where he went and told, in which house he went and informed them that their son is married now, comfortably settled down in Kashi, everything is fine. Unfortunately, the brahmachari was dead in that house. But when he informed them, they all felt very happy. That house, they felt happy. But in the other house, where he went and told them that person who actually is married and settled, but is dead, when he told them, they felt very unhappy about that because their son is dead. You understand what I'm saying, right? So, so now what happened now? The house where they informed them that he is dead and gone, they have arranged for a Shraddha ceremony. Because that's how it is when you get to know that the person is dead. And the person is not dead even, he is living in Kashi. And these people are performing a Shraddha. He is performing a Shraddha. And in the other house, where he was dead and gone, they were told that he is living well, comfortably in Kashi and everything. Then they were celebrating it, enjoying it also. Right? So, so one incident happened, but the reaction what happened, the emotions that created, and the incident what happened, there is no connection between the two, is it not? The emotions that happened in the two houses and the incident what happened has absolutely no connection between the two, right? So emotions have happened due to one misunderstanding, all these things, right? So it is like that Krishna is saying, when misunderstanding comes, emotions will come, and therefore he is saying to us that it is our misunderstanding about this life also, in the same way that we are controlling this life in our world, in this world, our life. It's a big misunderstanding, Krishna is saying. That it is your misunderstanding, Krishna says, that you are controlling your life in this world. It is a misunderstanding. Like this way, story said, we got separated from Krishna, and we are thinking that we are independent, we are running the world, this is all in our control, if we don't do it properly, and all this misunderstanding, Krishna is saying, is responsible for this situation, right? So according to your understanding You are making decisions according to your understanding. And if that understanding is not correct, all your decisions are all wrong. That is Krishna's point. Your understanding itself is wrong. That you are thinking that you are responsible for this world, and and due to that, accordingly, you are taking responsibility in this world, of running this world, and what should happen here, what should not happen here, forgetting that there is a higher power controlling everything here. And due to that, he is saying that when results come, that will create thoughts in you, emotions in you, and therefore you can misunderstand anything in that way. So Krishna knows this very well, that this ahankaram is a misunderstanding in a person about the reality. Krishna is waking us up to that point to make us understand that what your ahankaram is doing to you is only creating this misunderstanding, right? Know everything is Brahman. Sukham, Dukham, everything is Brahman. Krishna is bringing us to that level. Samikutva. Labham, Nashtam. Important thing is you don't lose the Shanti inside. That's more important than the Sukham, Dukham, or profit or loss, or success or failure, right or wrong. They are all not important. Important thing is your Shanti inside. Are you able to maintain that? That matters, Krishna said, right? And that is why he said, accept everything as Brahman. Everything as Brahman. And that is why that verse in the Ishopanishad, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, that particular line is spoken for this purpose. Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Everything is covered in Ishvara. Ishvara is present in everything. If you accept that, then you can accept what Krishna is saying. Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Yat kinte jagatyam jagat. If you understand that first verse properly, then what Krishna is saying to us is, actually there is only Krishna here. And cover all your material life, material existence, cover it with Ishvara. Cover it with Ishvara. And that way become free from this problem of dvandvam. Right? So that is what he is saying here. Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. And even though in experience it hasn't happened now, at least accept the principle, Krishna says. First, accept the principle. To come in experience level, it takes time. This Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, Yatkinchat Jagatyam Jagat. It will take time to come in the experience level. But at least accept it now, at this point in time. Anubhuti, realization, will come later. Leave it that for the moment, he said. If you accept that principle, that this whole creation is Krishna's manifestation, Jagal Swarupam, right? And if you do that, when the mind starts giving trouble, when the mind starts moving, again and again, remind it, this principle of Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, and bring and preach to the mind and bring the mind to the Shanti state. That is what Krishna's point is, right? For example, suppose you have got a feeling, hate feeling towards somebody. You started hating someone, right? And you have to tell your own mind, that's Krishna is inside. And that way become free from that hate. So that samskaram won't develop inside. Bring the mind into samasthiti. If you have, it happens in vyavaharam, isn't it? You develop sometimes love towards somebody, hate towards someone. Everything when it happens, Krishna is saying, practice this all the time to your own mind, saying to them, that's also Krishna's another manifestation. In that way, become free from the hate inside, right? Similarly, labham, nashtam, jayam, parajayam, everything. So, in this way, everything what happens in life, if you are able to accept it like that, as prasadam, Krishna's prasadam, bring the mind into samasthiti. Bring it back into the samasthiti. Without having any hate towards anyone, and without any creating any unbalance inside, in the mind. If you are able to conduct your life in this world, Krishna says that samasthiti will take you to liberation straight away. Yeah? And this is the reason. You know in Bhagavatam, how they have put it, in the seventh canto you will see this. Three things are spoken. Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam. Three things in the seventh canto. Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira about that. What is this Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam means? Bhavadvaitam means that that when you see all the wealth, first to acknowledge that everything is Krishna's wealth, right? Dravyam. Dravyam means wealth. All the wealth in this creation belongs to Krishna, right? And Krishna has given you something, you have accepted that in that way. And when he has taken it from you, it is gone. That's all. So Krishna has given it, Krishna has taken it back. And that is Krishna decided that way. If you cultivate that Dravyadvaitam, then wealth comes and goes, you won't be affected by that. That is Dravyadvaitam, right? In that case, in Dravyam, there is no Bhoktrutvam. If you develop this mindset, then in Dravyam, in the wealth, there is no Bhoktrutvam or Sutvam. That you are not saying anymore, it's mine. You are not saying anymore, I'm enjoying that and things like that, right? Provided you think that Dravyam belongs to him. You know this, don't you? Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam in the seventh canto. He talks about that. Sri Narada Maharshi explains it very well in the last chapter, 7:15:62. Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam, Tadhalpana. Vartayan Swanubhutyeha Treen Sutnan Dhunuteya Muni. That's the statement. Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam, Tadalpana, Vartayan Swanubhutyeha Treen Sutnan Dhunuteya Muni. All three are Swapnam actually. It's only a dream, he says. Right? So if you think that Dravyam belongs to Krishna everything, then you won't have any Sutvam, ownership on that, and Bhoktrutvam won't be there. Similarly, if you give all your karmam to Krishna, kriya means karmam, right? And giving up this thing, thinking that I am doing the karmam, I must get the result. Instead, if you are accepting this principle that Krishna is doing the karmam through this mind and body and everything, and it is Krishna's plan that is working through this body, in that way, becoming a machine in Krishna's hands, I am not the doer. If you have that developed that way, then the grip of the karmam also you become free from that. That is what is Kriyadvaitam means. Then the third one is Bhavadvaitam. Bhavadvaitam means that in order that no ragadvesham happens in this world, recognizing that in all living entities, Krishna is present as their very self, and when a living entity comes in front of you, able to look at that person or jiva whoever has come, that antaryami in that body, in that form who has come, and he has come, Krishna has come dressed up in this way, in front of us. And if you are able to accept that, he says, you will come to realize that just like thread is in the cloth, similarly Krishna is present throughout the creation. Like the thread in the cloth, right? And he is saying here that practice this. Bhavadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. And by doing that, become free from ragadvesham and mind will fall into the shanti state. And Krishna has given to us in a tablet form, this whole thing. That's all it is. How to get that yogasthiri, samasthiri? For that, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke to Yudhishthira, the same thing in the seventh canto. And same thing Krishna is saying here. And this is a process one has to do throughout life. And you will get somewhere in life if you do that. You may not perfect it in this life, but you will get somewhere in spiritual life, right? So not for one or two days. It is supposed to be for the whole life, right? So every day, on a daily basis, this is spiritual life. This is spiritual life, daily basis, right? And first of all, people will say, oh, meditation I've done for an hour, and I saw some light and all that, right? And people think that I have done my sadhana now. Now I will go and do what I want in the world. That's not spiritual life. Right? So every moment, every minute, how to make it spiritual, this is the way. Right? Not even starving. Starving. Oh, tapasya means step by step how one can come to this state, Advaita Bhavam, right? And the whole creation is belonging to Krishna. Krishna is present throughout the creation. This creation is nothing but His manifestation. And this life is meant for His happiness. And He is the controller and He is the one who is running the show. If you accept all these things what we have spoken, Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, and gradually if you teach our own mind, make them to accept this gradually, if you do that, ahankaram has to withdraw then. That's the way to kill the ahankaram. Otherwise there is no other way, right? So what happens is, ahankaram will leave us through the back door. Through the back door, ahankaram will leave us, right? So that ahankaram, this is the only way you can get over this ahankaram. Otherwise this ahankaram will give trouble till the end of life, right? Sukha dukkha jaya parajaya labha nashtam, whatever it may be, it is Krishna's plan. And in making this decision and to become like a machine in Krishna's hands, and that is what he told Arjuna, yuddhaya yujyasya, he says there, isn't it, yujyasya. So ready, get ready for the battle, he said. You will not be affected by any sinful reaction. And papa means, we are thinking that the after effect of a karmam, right? He, Krishna is saying, no karma, what does it matter, whatever karmam you do, you kill all of them, you won't be affected by any sinful reaction from that. Provided you have done in this state, right? That means in samam state, samadarshanam. So you remember how many times Krishna has said about samadarshanam? Vidya vinaya sampanye, brahmane gavihastini, shuni jaiva sopa keja, pandita samadarshanam. So if samadarshanam or samatvam or yogasthiti hasn't happened, then karma will create problem. So after saying this, Krishna mentions that you will have no after effect from that, and samadarshitvam means mind does not move anymore. Mind is not causing any more problems after that. With this verse, Krishna is finishing one topic there in this chapter. And up to this it is called a Sankhya. This is called a Sankhya Buddhi. You know, actually, this chapter is called a Sankhya Yoga. In our Bhagavad Gita, in English translation, Prabhupada put it as contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized. But in the original Bhagavad Gita, in the what Shankaracharya and others are using, in their Bhagavad Gita, this is Sankhya Yoga. And the Sankhyam is what he has spoken till now. The Sankhya Shastram, right? Sankhyam, Jnanam, analysis. Prakriti separate, Purusha separate. That's how it was analyzed, right? He mentioned there earlier about the Atma. Achedyoyam, Adahyoyam, Akledyo, Shoshyam, Evacha, all those verses. And there he separated body separate, Antaryami separate, Atma is separate, right? And then he mentioned that body will die, Atma will never die. He established that. All these things we have got it through Buddhi. Buddhi we have understood. But if it says in the Buddhi only, it is not good enough, right? In order that, if it has not come into experience level, Anubhava Mandalam, if it has not come, there is no benefit from this. So, first thing is, of course, Buddhi has to accept it. Buddhi, if it has not accepted, then Anubhava Mandalam won't happen. So, Buddhi is the first stage in that. Buddhi accepted it first. Then, how to translate that into Anubhava Mandalam? Krishna is saying, you start doing it in this way. Gradually, maybe few lifetimes it may take. But that samadarshitvam is the most important thing. He told Arjuna, he told Uddhava as well, and he told everybody in the Bhagavatam. You will see this samadarshanam spoken, right? So, up to this, what he has said, is all Brahmavidya. This is all Brahmavidya, right? Now, from now on, what he is going to talk about in this chapter is Yoga Shastra. This is where one topic finishes. You remember, at the end of each chapter, Krishna will say this, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishadsu, Brahmavidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. That is how every chapter finishes, isn't it? So, in this chapter, both Brahmavidya and Yoga Shastram is discussed. Up to this point, what Krishna has spoken is all Brahmavidya. From now on, what he is going to talk about till the end of the chapter is Yoga Shastram. You see? Remember, we discussed Brahmavidya and Yoga Shastram before. I mentioned what Brahmavidya means, what Yoga Shastram means. Brahmavidya is what we have discussed so far in this chapter. It's all Brahmavidya. From now on, what we are going to discuss from now on is Yoga Shastram. Brahmavidya means the knowledge of the soul and Brahman, which includes body as well. But knowledge is first required. And if the knowledge is clear inside, what Krishna has spoken all these verses till now, if that is clear, that is, body is separate, Atma is separate. Body is Jadam, I am Chaitanyam. I am pure consciousness, Chaitanyam, right? And body has got the different changes happening, isn't it? Takes birth, grows, changes, byproducts, destruction and death, finally, right? And me, actually, who am I then? I am that Chaitanyam, which means that there is no change in my position. In me, there is no change. In body, all changes have happened. And in me, when there is no change means, me, where I experience my existence, I am, there is no change at all, right? Body is continuously changing. That awareness, bodham inside, is steady. No change at all, right? Mind also continuously changing, right? But the force behind the mind, that's me, is not changing, right? So Krishna has given a good understanding, separating the body, mind and all that, the changing ones, and Chaitanyam change, not changing, one doesn't change. So difference between the changing and the non-changing, he has explained that till now very precisely. And broke them into Jadam and Chaitanyam. Jadam and Chaitanyam. Now, next thing is, Krishna is saying, how to bring it into practical applications, this knowledge, right? And that is Karma Yoga. That is Karma Yoga. So, Karma Yoga, although there is another chapter, next one coming after this, actually has begun here. This is the beauty of this chapter. In second chapter, Karma Yoga is starting now itself. And Krishna is going to... the reason is this. Why it has happened like this, right? In the general population, right? In general population, in the normal society, who are actually studying Shastram and who are practicing it, you will notice that some people in that society will be very matured, spiritually. Very matured people. That means, from beginning itself, they have practiced spiritual life and they have reached some stage. Means they have reached some maturity, right? So, such people don't need to know about Karma Yoga. They are already qualified for that, right? For what? For sannyasa. That means they have reached perfection. This happens in life. Many people, they must have studied Bhagavad Gita very early in life. And they have taken the knowledge properly and practiced it in their life. So that means by the age of, say, 45, 50 and all that, they have reached a matured state in life. In spiritually, they are matured at that time. So that means for them now, only thing what they have to do is to take sannyasam and and remain in that state, what they have reached, stay in that without getting affected by the world, dundvam, kartrutva, bhoktrutva, and ragadvesham and all. Maintain that for the rest of the life, right? So, So that is, that does mean, what means that, it's not that they will go for the initiation straight away, sannyas initiation, and get a danda and change the clothes. No, that is all external thing. What Krishna is saying, he is matured as a for sannyasam. He is matured. Whether he takes the dandam or not, that is his choice. It doesn't matter. Right? So, sannyasam nirmalam bhavam kashayo nadu mundanam. Kashayam means saffron, wearing saffron and shaving up head and all is not accepted as sannyasam from Krishna's position. Krishna is saying that kashayam nadu mundanam. Kashayam means saffron, mundanam means shaving up. That is not sannyasam, he says. Sannyasam nirmalam jnanam. Pure knowledge and established in the knowledge. That is sannyasam. That is proper sannyasam. He may or may not have changed the clothes, may or may not have taken the danda, may not have changed his name. Isn't it? In the modern world, these are more important. Whether you have changed the name, you have to get a big name, Bhakti Singh, something like that. And at the end, you know, when you see some of those names, you think, where they got all these names from? And then you have to have a danda. You have to have a first class silk, saffron clothes. Oh, everybody has a sannyasi has come. But that is not Krishna sannyasam. Krishna sannyasam is realization. Nowhere you will see Krishna talking about your dress, about your name, or about your, danda and things like that. Nowhere at all. Krishna is not interested in all that. He is interested inside what happened to you. Did the change happen or not? If inside changes have happened, you are a sannyasi, Krishna says. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Right? So, so that is why sannyasa lakshanam is jnanam, knowledge, realization inside. Without realization, you can say they are apprentices for the sannyasam, all others. You will find that these days there are so many young people now, you start thinking, oh, these are great personalities, where they come? Suddenly they have changed their clothes and taken danda in their hand and they are traveling all over the world preaching. And people get the impression that these are all a new generation, Gen Z sannyasis, who come all together to save this world. You talk to them and then you understand where they stand. Where they stand here. Yeah? So the principle here is that realization does matter. And that's the only thing matter as far as Krishna is concerned. If you have no realization on all these, what he has spoken, your sannyasam is all useless. That's very clear from this chapter. That is why in this chapter you will see there, no, sannyasam means knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self, right? And for them, karmam is finished. There's no more karma because they have matured themselves in that way, right? If they don't do anything in this life after that, nothing is going to happen to them. But only very, very few people will have that maturity in this world, right? And maturity to free themselves inside from everything and to remain aloof from that, right? So, one lady, she is a householder. She has family at home, right? And this one story I'll say, and then we'll stop it. In her house, her brother was there, and her husband was there, right? So one day, this brother was telling his sister, that is this lady, who is married to that man, right? So, he has heard Vedanta. And he said, I want to become a sannyasi. He felt, right? So he says to her, she is his elder sister. And she was very fond of him. So he told her, I am going to become a sannyasi, he said to her, right? So, obviously, the elder sister doesn't know much about all these things, philosophy and Vedantam and all that. She hasn't got a clue. So she goes, gets very upset. Oh, my brother is leaving home and want to become a sannyasi. So he, if he becomes a sannyasi and goes away, what will happen to him? All this worried her. So she goes and says to her husband, she told him first, why you want to become a sannyasi? She was arguing with him. He said, no, 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 after hearing this Vedantam, this is what I want to be. He said, nothing else, I'm not going to make any compromise, he said to her. So she went and told her husband that my brother wants to become a sannyasi. You talk to him and stop him from becoming a sannyasi, right? So, so husband fortunately was a very matured person who know these things well, sufficient maturity inside, knowledge also. He says to her, don't worry, he won't take sannyasam, he said. He says, and he's not going to become a sannyasi. But then again, when he was away, they were talking to each other, and the brother says to her, no, I have decided, I'm going to become a sannyasi, he said. So again she goes back and says to her husband to talk to him and to stop him from becoming a sannyasi, right? So he says to her, no, he is not going to become a sannyasi. Husband was absolutely certain. And the brother was saying that I'm going to become a sannyasi. And his sister, his wife, is in a confused state, what to do. She's always worried, will he become a sannyasi? And what will happen then? Right. So next day, her husband was coming back after bathing in the tank, was coming home, right? So when he came home, she again complained to him, you don't have any feeling for us, neither to me nor for him. It's like, when she said that, he didn't say anything, right? The husband said to her, I've told you that he is not going to become a sannyasi, right? Because one who is taking sannyasam, he won't say next month, next week, next year, and all the things. He won't be saying that, he said, right? Because that is not sannyasam then. I know that because he keeps telling you for the last few months now that he's going to take sannyasam. And from that, I can tell you that he's not going to take sannyasam. Because one who is going to take sannyasam won't speak like that. The wife got angry when he said that, right? Then how will that happen? He asked her. She asked him, how will he take sannyas? You know what he did? He had this kamsha with him. He put it on his waist and he said, this is how it will be. And he walked out. Never came back again. That is how sannyasam is, right? So sannyasam is not something, we do all kinds of official things and make it as a big show. He has taken sannyasam, 50th anniversary of the sannyasam, 60th anniversary of the sannyasam, and make a big thing out of it. Sannyasam is not all these things. This is the important principle. Krishna is saying sannyasam means that vairagyam inside and the jnanam inside. If it is there, he is a sannyasi. Not the dandam, not the shaved head, not the clothes. That principle, he is going to talk about that in detail. We'll discuss it next Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.